Blog Talk Radio.
You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? Is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or just to live forever, ever and ever, in that sweet old by and by? But if heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. If there were never any streets of gold, neither a land where we'll never grow old, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. Oh, He's been my closest friend down through the years, and every time I cry, He dries all my tears. Just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. I was lost and living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light. Don't you know I was living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light.
Right, the songs say, if heaven was never really promised, in other words, let's just say it was make-believe. If heaven was never promised to me, neither God promised to live eternally, that was not promised either. It goes on to say, the song says, it's still been worth having the Lord on my side, living in a world of darkness. He came along and brought me to life. That's one of my anthems for my life. What if this stuff ain't real? What if it never happened? I mean, I believe it is. What if we're wrong? What if it never happened? And we're all just being fooled or tricked. What do you think of the whole experience? Some of y'all have lived your lives. You've been following commandments. And have it benefited you? Have it benefited your life? What if there is no heaven, hell, lake of fire? What if it's all fabricated? That's why I like that song. It says, it's been worth still having the Lord on my side. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me to light. And I mean that with all my heart. So many times I went up against wicked people and it looked like they got the victory over me.
Tell them I'm on the phone. Tell them I'm on our show.
Please, please, Lydia. Sorry about that. I had to drop my daughter off a little quick message. Folks trying to contact me while I'm trying to do shows. And I thought everybody knew the times I do shows, but maybe I didn't make it clear. But that's what that song is all about. That song is by Andre Crouch. And this show tonight is part three. I know it's been put off for a long, long time. I was supposed to do this a long time ago. But for whatever reason, I didn't do it. And so tonight, here I am doing part three. And I think in part one and part two, I focus on a lot of different things. But part three is going to be focused on my belief system. What causes me to tick? Where do I get my beliefs from? What do I believe in? Why do I believe the way I believe? And since I believe that way, what's the proof? How do you know you're right, Brother Seth? How do you know that what you ascribe to is the truth, is the straight and narrow? So this is what tonight is all about. What I believe and the proof of what I believe. I sent out a late message. Seemed like to be the norm for me. I might as well quit apologizing. I'm always sending out late messages to people to listen to the show because some people need a reminder, and sitting down pretty late, and so I'm expecting more people to come. So I'm going to just share a few things before I get into my testimony. Again, this is part three. There are two more parts, and I don't want y'all to forget that because you'll be missing out on a mighty, mighty blessing. There are two more parts to this. Folks, the Most High has been good to me. He really has been. And I don't understand everything about the book. I don't even understand everything about the Most High. But one thing I can tell y'all, there is a higher power. And I hope that you are paying homage to this higher power. I'm not going to say he. Because when you're talking about the Most High, I'm not so sure he is a he, or it is a he, or this being is a he. But whatever he or it is, you should be paying great homage to it because we truly didn't make ourselves. And even if we came from apes, which I vehemently disagree with, but even if we did, somebody made those apes. And if we came from a rock, thousands of years ago, a million years ago, you got to ask yourself what caused that rock to develop, no matter what you want to say or come up with. And this is not about you. This is about my beliefs, but I just want to just share that. So tonight, what is it that Brother Seth believed? Why do I speak so much about this five smooth stones? Why do I name the show Five Smooth Stones? What's up with the five smooth stones? And what happened to you, Seth? Ever since you've been back from Ohio, you've been a little different. You know, this is not what your mom taught you and raised you up on, this whole Hebrew thing. What is up with that? Some people think I've probably erred from the faith and have left my foundation. Well, it's far from the truth. I want to thank the Most High for being able to travel because my travel has a major, major part in influencing me to believe the way I believe. I prayed a long time ago, asking the Most High, could I see the world? I didn't ask to be born in the United States. Why do I need to be stuck here with all these white supremacists? And it's the truth. No offense to white people. I'm talking about a doctrine. I'm talking about a philosophy, not a people. But the doctrine of white supremacy is so thick in this nation, it's a wonder black folks even have enough healthy self-esteem to even, you know, put on their clothes, because we are totally, totally history, I should say, is totally ignored vastly. And this little business we do during February where they talk about a few little things we did is almost an insult. When everything comes from these so-called dust-colored people. So let me just start off by saying this, since we're talking about people. No time do I do any shows with regards to Five Smooth Stones do I ever mean to present hatred, disrespect, or any of the above. I mean, I have nothing but love for all people. And some people say I say it too much. Some people probably feel I don't say it enough. But I really do have a thing in my heart for all people. I hate doctrines that some people tend to lean on, and that's all people. I hate the lies, the boxes that we have put ourselves in. Black people believe this, black people believe that, black people do this, black people do that. White people always know this, white people know that. You know, I hate all these boxes because it's just lies and tricks and deceptions from the enemy. I don't believe one race is superior in any. I don't even believe in the concept of race. We're talking about what I believe tonight. Let me just do this, because I feel myself getting deep into this already, and I don't want to go as deep as I'm feeling. So let me just say this. First of all, before I forget, those of y'all listening to this show, and you have been listening to this show for some time, please go to the front page of this of Five Smooth Stones, and you can get there by simply going to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and you would do a slash, and then you type in the number 5, then underscore, then smooth, then underscore, then stones. In that order, 5 underscore smooth underscore stone. That's after you type in blogtalkradio.com, www.blogtalkradio.com. When you get that front page, you will see a link to a website, www.5smoothstones.webs.com. Please go there and register. Leave your name and email address. Check out the pictures and videos, and you'll understand better what Five Smooth Stones is all about. If you visit the site, you'll see the Five Smooth Stones or the 5 topics in progress. Again, visit the site, register, leave us your name, email, and we can. We don't send no emails out hardly to people unless they respond to us. But just so you know, there is a Five Smooth Stone website, and we can exchange information. Iron sharpens iron. Maybe you guys can let me in on some different things you're finding, and I will do the same. Again, posting things on the internet that will enlighten you with regards to the 5 subjects of the Five Smooth Stones. Also, follow Five Smooth Stones. This particular link you're listening to right now, follow us on Blog Talk. Click on the word follow, and it'll give you an option to punch in your phone number or email, some way where we can send a reminder to you that we're on the air, and maybe you can plug it in for a 15-minute reminder or something like that, okay? Now that I got that out of the way, I want to play this song to encourage every single one of y'all that has been working out here in the vineyard, fighting for the things that are right, doing what's right. I mean, you know for a fact that you love the Most High, and you have been trying to push His truth for many, many years. You are faithful, and you're not perfect, but you're faithful, and you try so hard to love people no matter what a walk of life they come from, and you try to keep the laws that has been passed down to you by your elders, and as you learn new laws daily. This song is for you, and after this song, we'll go ahead and start my testimony part 3. I'm telling y'all, you don't want to miss this. I'm going to share some things that I probably haven't shared in none of the programs, some experiences I've had in these different countries I've been that helped mold the belief system that I have. Do not miss out. Do not even not. Do not even look away from the screen. You probably missed something. Check this out. This is by Luther Barnes called It's Your Time. Check this out. This is for you, those of you who are not perfect, but you follow the Most High and you really want His kingdom in your life, and you are a servant of the Most High. This song really, truly is for you. You listen to me right now. Check this out.
Of your heart. In other words, Not only will he give you what you need, but he promised to give you whatever you want. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Hang in there and prepare yourself for your blessing. It's your time now.
Send that song out to those of you who have encouraged others, just like the song say, and you needed it yourself. You worked for the Most High. You wasn't always perfect, but you stayed true to his laws. You pushed his laws. You pushed his laws. You encouraged people to do what's right. You encouraged, and you fought for what's right. That's not everybody listening to me. But those that do fit that, that song is for you. It's Your Time by Luther Barnes. That song always does something to me. Really, it's just, I haven't always felt it was me. Sometimes I felt it was me, other times I didn't, but that's a very powerful song. Check it out on YouTube, Luther Barnes, It's Your Time. Very powerful song for those people out there working the vineyard. Now, tonight, what makes Brother Seth tick? What he believes, why do he believe, where is his proof at for what he believes? You know, there's a lot of folks believe a lot of stuff out there. But for whatever reason, when you start trying to ask them, how do you know, what's your proof? A lot of people just talking. There's a whole lot of talk on the internet, you know, about this, about that, and the others. And when you say, how do you know it's true? How do you know that your belief are really sound and rooted? I had a show the other day where I said that nobody can use any scriptures, no Torah, no Old Testament, no New Testament, no Hindu scriptures, no Quran, no nothing. Without any book, how would that affect your beliefs? All of these books have been tampered with. We know that. I believe in the Bible. I think there's enough truth in the Bible to get anyone where they need to be. I believe that. The Bible is a code. It's not something anybody can just pick up and read. We think we can because it's words and we can understand the words. But it's a code. Don't matter if it was written in the ancient Hebrew or if it's... It don't matter if you read the original scriptures. It's a code. Christ said it out of his own mouth. He's speaking parables to those that are not within the kingdom, and to those that are in the kingdom, he breaks it down. It is a code hidden from the wicked. Having said that, I do believe that the Most High have to reveal this book unto you. If he don't reveal this book unto you, you would just be somebody that have read the Bible. And I know people say, well, the Bible ain't this, the Bible ain't that. And I understand, and some of y'all have a lot of proof, and I even agree with a lot of things, such as books are missing out of the Bible. I believe that with all my heart. It even says it. The Bible says it. I mean, when the Bible says many other things did this king or that king, you know, as for instance, it says, when you know how when Moses' hands was lifted, and as long as his hands was lifted, Israel was winning the war. No, I'm getting mixed up. When the sun set still, when the prophet, I believe it was Elijah, spoke and commanded the sun to stand still so Israel would win the battle. If I got that right, I probably got that wrong, but a little rusty. But it said this story, there is more about this story written in the book of Jasher, Jasher. That's what the Bible says. And many other things did, and many other events happened around this story, but it's written in the book of Jasher. But when you try to look up the book of Jasher in the Bible, there is no book of Jasher. So that's telling you right there some things are missing. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, just do a search in your Strong's Concordance for this phrase, written in the book of. Just look that up in the Strong's Concordance. The words written in the book of. When you type in those words, written in the book of, and just hit enter, you're going to see everything that comes after that. I would say 90% of the books that come after that phrase is not in the Bible. So do I believe the Bible has been tampered with? Yes. But there is something much more powerful than the Bible itself. And that is the one who inspired those to write the Bible. And that something is the Most High. And he has moved on man by the Spirit, by his Spirit to write. So the Bible can never be more important than the Spirit. Because the Bible has been tampered with in the hands of wicked people, and the Spirit is untainted. So I did a show not too long ago where I said there is something we have more powerful than all of the holy writings, and I meant that topic. There is something more powerful than all of the holy writings, and that is the Spirit that moved on the prophets to write these holy writings. So like I said, I did a show where I talked about what do you believe. Matter of fact, that topic I just mentioned where I said, I should look it up so y'all will know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all probably saying, what is he talking about? I did a show where it said, if I can find the topic. The show went like this, and this was a very interesting show because I got all these Egyptologist people that always give me a hard time, and they want to tell me that, you know, the Bible ain't this, the Bible ain't that, until I did this show. I did a show because I was tired of these Egyptologists, and I was tired of all these people coming against the book, and here it is. It says, okay, no, that's not it. It was a book, it was a show that said, I'll find it here. But basically what I did is I did a show where I asked every single person listening to not quote any Bible. Not refer, here it is. This is the show I did on February the 10th. It said, the name of the show was Something More True Than All Bibles and Ancient Writings. Something more true than all Bibles and ancient writings. And I went on to say in the show's description, something more true than all the Bibles and ancient Egyptian writings. The amazing thing is we all have this source, and it's absolutely free. That's what I typed on for the show description. And in talking about my beliefs tonight, I got to lay this out first. If they took away all of the Bibles, if they took away all of the scriptures that you ever heard, if they took away all of the memory of your grandmother, your grandfather, your grandpa, your grandma, your mother, father, uncle, brother, your friends, if they took away all of the scriptures that you've ever heard, what would you believe? Or in other words, what has the Spirit say it to you? Somebody say, well, the Spirit is going to speak what the Word say. That's true. But what did the Spirit say? See, this is what I say to my Egyptologist friend. I'm not going to make this show out about them. But a lot of them have a lot of concrete things that they are saying. A lot of atheists got a few points they think. A lot of Hindus people have a few points they think. A lot of Muslims have some certain angles that Christianity just don't have. So what do you find yourself after all of these people get through talking? Confused. So you have got to go back to the spiritual roots and ask yourself, what is the Spirit saying to you? So having laid that foundation, I will start with how I believe, the things I believe, and why I believe the things I believe. I think Egyptologists are right about a lot of things. I do. I think when they talk about the Bible and King James, they are right. When they talk about the Council of Nicaea, they are right. They're absolutely right. Those were very wicked people with something very holy in their hands, and they did a lot of damage to the world with them trying to change the truth. The Egyptologists are right. When they say there is no J in the Hebrew language and the person named Jesus never exists, they are right. Jesus is a person created strictly out of nothing. There was no Jesus Christ as far as what they, there was a person that walked the earth. Don't listen to me before y'all trip out on me. The book is correct. There was a man that lived, that healed the sick, raised the dead, had a mother named Mary. You know, all the things the Bible say about Christ. But when you see the letter J, his name couldn't have been Jesus. So there is a person that lived and did all the things that we believe the Savior did, but his name wasn't Jesus. Couldn't have been. The letter J is not that old. The Egyptologists are right. They have a serious point. But he did live. Now some say, well, he didn't really have 12 disciples. That's just all, you know, that all come from the whole, you know, Egyptian mythology. I've had Walter Williams on the show, not in person, but we played a whole lot of Egyptologists been on this show via audio. We played a lot. We've given them like 2 weeks. Walter Williams talk a whole hour via audio on this show. Why? I wanted to make sure all of these Egyptologists get their beliefs in. I wanted them to say what they had to say. I invited Joseph Johnson again tonight, and he listened for about 5 minutes and he left. Same person didn't listen to the show when we talked about let's take away all the holy books, let's take away all of the holy writings, and let's see who can stand without any of it. See, what the Egyptologists mean, and I'm not going to make this show out to the, again, I'm just quickly addressing them, and then we're going to move on. But what they fail to understand is if the whole religion behind Egypt is mythology, then what does that mean about them? That means their whole belief system is based on a myth. Think about that for a second. It's almost saying that you believe in cartoons, and that's your belief system. So what part of it is true? If everything is mythology, mythology this, mythology that, what do you have to give to the world? Now let's talk about Brother Seth, what I believe. I look at the Bible, and when I look at these prophecies, and I look at what it said, the one set of prophecies I'm going to talk about is what the Bible has to say about Israel, which is the star of the Bible. Israel is the main focal point of the Bible. Outside of the Most High, it's his people. It's a father and his people. When I look at the prophecies that is supposed to be upon Israel and what Israel is supposed to go through and what Israel is supposed to think and how Israel is supposed to feel and how Israel's enemies is to treat them and what their enemies is to say and where their enemies is to take them and how they're to act when they get to this place and how long are they going to be at this place and when they're going to be delivered from this place. When I look at all of the prophecies where it relates to these people named Israel or Yisrael, to me, that validates the Bible. Because when you look at people on the planet, there is a people that is walking around wearing these prophecies. And like Dick Gregory said in humor, civilization started in Africa. The animals never left. And I'm using what he said to prove a point. You can make up all kind of stuff about belief system. You can change the Bible, you can change this, you can change that. But you ain't going to get no millions of animals to go a certain place so you can prove a point. When we look at Africa, we know everything started there because of those animals being there. That right there is serious. He was trying to be funny, Dick Gregory was, but that's a serious point. All of those animals are mainly focused in that continent. Civilization had to start there. But we believe that man began to move out, move around. When you look at Israel, they argue that we believe, you know, a lot of people that called the show last week constantly talk about why that we say Israel is our homeland, that we're more than an Israelite, we're bigger than an Israelite. Well, I know that mankind is more than an Israelite. I know that we've done more than what happened in Israel. I know that the pyramids and Luxor and all of the great wonders of that continent started with dust-colored people. I never denied that. But eventually, dust-colored people spread out the whole planet, and they did do other things. One of the things they did was establish the nation of Israel. When you look at us as a people, when you look all over the planet for those prophecies, or look for a people, rather, that is fulfilling those prophecies. Those prophecies are something of, they are amazing. Everybody does not fit those prophecies. Every nation does not fit those prophecies. And this is one of the main reasons. This is not the only reason I believe the way I believe, but this is the main reason. I should say one of the main reasons that I hold the Bible so close to my heart versus the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Because I can see with my eyes in 2012 of people living out these prophecies. You can say what you want to say, but you cannot control the whole world to get Europe to come down to Africa and create these slave ships and enslave a people just like the book says and behave as a nation of people from Europe just like the book says. And to come from the north just like the book said. And to enslave these people for a certain amount of time just like the book said. Not to mention all types of history notes, you know, weird things we've heard throughout history, like the queen telling the slave owners, you know, make sure you get 144,000. And weird things like that that's already imprinted to history. You know, they are fulfilling scriptures, and they didn't even know. They don't know. They didn't know who we were. Some of them said, yes, they do. Yes, they. Some people argued with me last week. Yes, they do. No, I don't think the world knows who we are. I don't think these people behaving know who we are. And yet they are treating us just like the scripture says Israel would be treated. This is one of the reasons I hold dear to the book and not the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Maybe the you know, that it says, well, Christ, you know, wasn't the only one that died and rose on the third day. Maybe so. Maybe they're right. What if they're right? What does that change? Just because somebody had disciples before Christ, does that validate his disciples? Maybe everybody before them, the prep. What if we ain't heard the history, but the truth of the matter is everybody always had 12 disciples. But maybe when the earth first started, that's how man rolled. It rolls to 12. So Christ coming along with his 12, how does that invalidate that somebody else had 12 before him? What does that mean? Immaculate conception. Some people say, well, Christ wasn't born of a virgin. Okay, let's say they're right. What does that change? Well, the Bible lied. Okay, what if it did? What does that change? How does that change anything? He was born. What if Mary and Joseph did have sex? And Mary wasn't as pure as we think. What does it matter? Was he not the savior of the world? Was his blood not? Now, I don't believe what they're saying. I'm just saying some of this stuff, you can give them the argument and it still won't matter. So tonight, I'm just sharing what my beliefs are after the storm, so to speak. I'll continue to invite anybody to this show to talk about anything. I'm not running from none of y'all. All I got to say to y'all is this. If you took all these Bibles away, Old Testament, New Testament, Hindu scriptures, the Quran, what do you believe? This is what I believe. Some of y'all are saying, where are you going with this? This is what I believe, folks. If you took away all of the holy books, in another 8,000 years, we'll have it all back because the Spirit is what produced the books. We will know not to kill because when we kill, we will see the pain that people go through and we will feel a certain way after we take a life and we'll know, I shouldn't take a life. We'll see the way the animals behave after they kill each other. We'll know not to kill. So you get thou should not kill just by watching nature. You know not to commit adultery by watching your neighbors. You know, after you see so many fights and killings over adultery, you'll know not to commit adultery. You can rewrite the Ten Commandments by the Spirit. You can rewrite all of the whole Bible by the Spirit. But what about the Egyptian Book of the Dead? This is why I hold so true to the 66 books. They can say what they want to say, but my book talk about prophecies that we can see and we don't need nobody to tell us something. Like I've said, the further you go back in history, the more white people you got to trust. In one breath, y'all want to hate white people and say they're the devil, they this, that, and the other. And then in the other breath, you want to go trust in all these people. And then you got thousands and thousands of them to trust. And let me just say this to those, and I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm turning this into Christianity versus Egyptology. Probably change the subject by now because I'm hitting on it too much. But this is about my belief. Eventually, I'm going to get to my sound belief, what I believe. Let me say this. There is as much division in Egyptology as it is in denomination and churches. Mankind just find a way to be divisive no matter what belief system he is in. Period. It's just like a lot of the Hebrew Israelites, which I claim to be. You know, we found out we Israel, which is a wonderful revelation. Wonderful revelation. So what do? Instead of us following the Most High and rejoicing in him, the Bible said the reason why Israel went into captivity is because they didn't worship the Most High with gladness. They wasn't excited about their relationship. They didn't have one, number one, and then they wasn't excited about it when they did have it. That's what took us into bondage. So what are we doing today, those of us that are calling ourselves Israelites, Hebrew Israelites? We have made this into a whole other law. We just go into the Old Testament, we pull out all these scriptures, and, you know, a lot of conversation last week and the week before. Well, actually, I went back a little further than that. But last month, I spent a lot of time talking about that because, you know, all these folks want to argue, spend time arguing law versus the Spirit. So that's what made me come up with this show and say, okay, let's take away all laws. All laws written, that is, not the ones written on your heart. What about Romans 2? Romans 2. Let me get my book out. I want y'all to see this. Romans 2. If you got a Bible, please flip over to Romans 2. This is why I talk about this. I'm getting to where I quote Romans 2 almost every single show. But Romans 2, starting at verse about 24. This is talking about people that did not have the law versus people that did have the law. There are these people that did not have the law that please the Most High because although they wasn't circumcised like the law had commanded Israel to do, circumcised. Y'all know what circumcision means, when you cut the penis and it's like a ritual, you know. It's more than just cutting the penis foreskin. It's the whole ritual of serving the Most High. But anyway, these people in Romans 2 were not circumcised. And that's major. They was called heathens by Israel. They weren't circumcised. But yet, their heart was right with the Most High. And then those that were circumcised, keeping the law and having had their foreskin cut, they missed the boat so bad to the people that did not have the law, pleased the Most High, because the Most High said they were circumcised of the heart. Listen to this. Let's read this. We'll start at verse 20. I'll shorten it a little bit. We'll start at verse 25. I'm going to read this fast. Check this out. I'm not going to turn this into a Bible study. It's about my testimony, but I want to show y'all how there are people that don't know anything about the book that's going to be better off than those with the text. Ask yourself this question. Moses didn't have no Bible. He had no New Testament. And he didn't have no Old Testament. He didn't have no laws until the Most High gave him laws. I'm talking about written laws that we know of. How was he able to do great exploits? Abraham, all of our forefathers in the Old Testament. But people had no new. They didn't have no Old Testament. They had the Torah. They had the first, you know, first books of the Bible. But they did not have all these laws. It's like the more laws we get, the more legalistic we get, and the more we can't please the Most High. Again, this is about my beliefs and my beliefs alone. Check this out. We'll start at verse 25. I'll read fast. For circumcision verily profited, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, uncircumcision is people that don't know nothing about the Most High. Listen to this, verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? What? This is saying, let me read in everyday language, English. Therefore, if a person who is not circumcised and haven't made a covenant with the Most High, who don't have their penis foreskin cut and make this covenant of blood with the Most High, it said if they keep the righteousness of the law, how are they able to keep the righteousness of the law? Because it's more than just about cutting your doggone foreskin. Shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Verse 27, check this out. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest transgress the law? Watch this. Verse 28, this is the main scriptures I want to read, the last two. Check this out. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. What? Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But these Israelites believe that if they follow all these laws, they're justified. If their heart not right. Watch this. Verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. It's all about the inward. We do these laws on the outside to our body. Stand here, cut that. Cut this foreskin, cut that foreskin. Kill this lamb, kill that lamb. We do all this external stuff. But really, the Most High never, ever really was always about the external. It's the internal. Always was, always will be. Verse 29 again. Here we go. For he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I just read it the way it was put there. This is where I'm at, folks. It's all about the spirit with me now. Yeah, I'm so serious. I have evolved. Now that I'm telling y'all the final state of Seth, I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking about how I got to this point. I'm going to back up and start over. I'm going to back up as a youth and talk about how I got to this point if I get the time here. But I just want to hit us a little closer. All of these beliefs out here is very confusing. All these beliefs out here is very confusing. You know, I just don't believe that the Most High is going to damn humans when you got all these preachers saying so many different things. And now our people are learning different things about Egypt, and I welcome the study of Egypt more than I welcome. I mean, I know for a fact there is something in, and it's more than Egypt. As a matter of fact, I probably shouldn't even say Egypt. The motherland, Africa. We have been so brainwashed against that place. That's why I do love seeing our people go and study Egypt and Luxor and Ethiopia. That's why I went to Ethiopia. I don't believe nothing these white folk tell us about Egypt or about Africa. That's why I went and saw myself. I knew Ethiopia would be beautiful, and it was. I knew I would have a pleasant experience, and it was. I knew I would see beautiful people, and I did. I don't believe nothing America has to say about the motherland. So I welcome the study of Egypt. But I'm not about to be deceived by that continent either, because after all, that continent, along with all the other continents, turned their back on the Most High, and that is why they fell in the first doggone place. We can't be fooled. So I'm submitting tonight, sharing my beliefs. I believe the number one authority for me, folks, is the Spirit. After all of this, after the storm is clear, after, you know, I remember me and my wife, when we first started learning stuff, it started in 1991. We met a guy by the name of Nomo X. Nomo X, that was his name. Nomo X, N-O-M-O-X, that was his name. And he called himself Nomo X because he no more, like the Muslim used to say, Malcolm X or John X, because they didn't know who they were. Well, he said, I'm no more X because I know who I am. This brother was an Egyptologist, strong brother. This was in 91. And he made us feel like, me and my wife feel like we didn't know nothing. He just began to just grill us and talk about the King James Version Bible and how King James was a homosexual. He just went on and on and on and on and on. This brother just grilled us. And remember, those of y'all on the phone lines, I see quite a few on the phone lines. The chat room is not that full, but several the phone lines is. If you have questions on the phone lines, press 1. A question or a comment, press 1. If you have a question or comment in the chat room, type your question or your comment. But Nomo X taught me a lesson. Nomo X taught me a serious lesson. I see your question, my brother. Just give me a second. I'll get right to you. Nomo X taught me a lesson. My goodness. Here we was, babies, going up against a lion. This brother was slaying folks left and right. People would come all over to hear Nomo X at the Bible at this bookstore just break it down. This was way back when we didn't know Jack. And, I mean, he was telling me about it. Why are y'all so stuck on the King James Version? And I remember saying to him, you know, as a minister, I remember saying to him, well, I believe in the King James Version Bible and this blah, blah, blah. And I was just, you know, I did. And so I began to just share with him. And he said, my brother, why are you so stuck on that King James Version Bible? And I began to say, because that book did this for me and did that and blah, 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 blah. And he said, I mean, he just basically looked at me like, you are so ignorant. And then I said, you know what, Nomo, you might be right. You might be right about King James. But it ain't just about King James. Here I was, a baby going up against a lion. I said, what's more important than the King James is the Spirit that produced King James. I mean, they produced the Bible that King James tampered with. That's more powerful than whatever King James did. The Spirit is what moved on the prophets to write. And then King James come along and tamper with it. You know what Nomo X told me? Now you're talking. So me and Arlene left there stripped of everything but the Spirit. And that's where I'm at today. We don't know. We wasn't there. We don't really know. We don't know. Oh, yes, I do. You really don't know how this thing happened. But the Spirit knows.
And it ain't tampered with. It ain't tampered by white supremacy. That's all we have, people, is our heart and our spirit towards the Most High. That's all we got. That's all we got. We're spirits having experience in the body. That's where my faith ended up. Go ahead. Someone got a question or comment. Area code 804-289. Go ahead with your question or comment.
You know I had to call in for myself.
Well,
sound like a revolution. Huh?
I said, good hearing from you.
Yes, yes. Same here. But, Brother Self, but like you said, if you get rid of all the Bibles and all the Qurans, you know what will happen? The devil will lose, if you want to call him the devil. I would say this one world religion, this religious conspiracy against humanity, it will lose if we destroy all the Bibles and go back. See, one thing, but that ancient ruin in Luxor, they don't know what language the people spoke. It's a big mystery. They don't know nothing about the place. And, Brother Self, you know who the real Egyptologists are. You can't keep them out of Luxor. You cannot keep them out. So, they the ones that put names on mystery flushes and brought these people to life in these books. They never existed. But all of that is a diversion to keep us disconnected from Luxor. And like I said, Buster, you got to go there to get that gut feeling, that gut revolution. Because before I even knew, met Walter Williams, what I was saying, somebody told a lie on Luxor. They told him.
This is the question I have for you and Brother Walter Williams, and I really hope you blame on my show. I'm going to let you do that. I got enough irons in the fire. I don't want to be chasing nobody. But blame on the show. I told you it's open forum. I ain't running from nobody. But I got a question for you and Walter Williams and all of these Egyptologists. This is what I have. Now, I told you.
Why you keep saying Egyptologists, though, brother? We not the Egyptologists. We don't have no belief system. Them people didn't have no belief system.
Everything
that all these black people saying, they got it from the white people.
Right.
The same way we victims of Christianity, Islam, this and that. We are victims of these people when Alexander the Great, not Alexander the Great, Alexander the Greek, that's when it all started. When he died, his henchman, next in line, they got mad because we refused to make them gods. I'm telling you, Brother Self, it was us who was running up and down in Nile. When we left that place in Luxor, we went in every direction. And see, you got people don't put names on.
I want to present something out to you. Now, I'm still talking about my beliefs, but I'm going to talk about my beliefs by way of asking you a question, okay? I want to play a little game here. And again, we're talking about my beliefs. I'm going to prove my beliefs by doing something a little weird here. I want you to talk to this person, okay? Here's a guy that was bound by drugs. He used the name Jesus, which we know there was no J. He got set free. This guy was bound by drugs. He went to the altar. He prayed, cried out to the Most High, and he got up scot-free, never had a desire to go back to drugs since. And he was a kind of crack addict that be, you know, rubbing himself and acting like how they portray in the movies. He looked like one of them that would be in the movie. He got up off that altar scot-free. He goes around telling his story. Talk to him right quick.
Far as getting him right or something?
I just want you to explain to him what happened to him.
He psyched himself out. That's just like the POWs in the South Pacific. They imagine themselves eating a full full course meal in their mind. So and dude wrote a book on that's how he survived the POW camp in World
now,
War
hold
II.
On, hold on. Okay. I'm gonna give you that one. I know that's correct. I ain't gonna even say that's crazy. I'm gonna be nice tonight. Okay, let's say you're right. A mother is at work. She gets an unction in her spirit. Something is going wrong at her house. She breaks her neck, runs outside. Supervisor, where are you going? I got to get home. She know, but she don't have no proof. Ain't nobody call her. She ain't got no text or nothing. She breaks her neck, get home, and find out that it's true. Her child was in danger. Explain that.
See, that's what we've been destroying. If we was to leave that Bible and all these other religions alone, it would be stronger than that. So just imagine she got that gut feeling, even under the influence of this religion.
Now hold on a second. Every person I know that study Africa, that study, and I want them to study. I study it. I want them to. I want y'all to keep going to Luxor. Keep digging. I want you to. So don't ever think Brother Seth is against that. What I'm saying is when y'all come back, to me you're very empty. You take our people backwards. You're saying throw the Bible away. I say, hold on. I say, let's be wise. If they went through all of that to tamper with that book, that means something is there. If they went through all this hell to hide books and to translate this and to mess with the letter J, well, why are they messing with the name? It must be a powerful name. If they got to take out the J, and why did they insert the word G-O-D, God, and take out the word Yah or Ra or, you know, what a Yahweh or whatever his name was, Yahweh or whatever his name was. If they're tampering and taking away, and that tells you they're doing that for a reason. But what y'all do is you come along and you say all the white men in temple, you throw the whole thing out. That is crazy. Now, hold on. Now, there is in this book that y'all sent throw away explanations of what that one woman went through on her job. It's called a word knowledge. It means you go about your business serving the Most High, being submitted to His Spirit, and eventually that Spirit is going to rise up in you, and it will present a gift to you. That gift that was given to that woman was a word of knowledge, a word of knowing. I ask you that. You just say, Brother psyched himself out. He didn't psych himself out. He got healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are things that are going on with people all around you by the thousands, millions. Brother Joseph, if you start trying to analyze all these miracles, you probably go crazy. They have to lock you up somewhere. There's so many people had visitations. There's some of people that had talked to people and they walked away and they didn't see them no more. Them people are not crazy. I mean by the thousands. There are people that have the ability to talk to the dead. Just like King Saul did when he called that woman with the familiar spirit, and she called Samuel from the dead. You say Samuel didn't exist. Somebody didn't exist. But yet there's people walking around with those talents and gifts on the earth today. And y'all have no explanation for that. All you want to say is the Bible is the white man book. And this is what I've been trying to tell you. The white people just now came into power, fresh out of the caves of Europe. Europe is a baby. The book was around thousands of years before white people even came together as a people. This is what I don't understand about a lot of these people that are doing all this teaching. I want you to think about this. I'm going to let you talk, please. But this is what I don't get. How can y'all give this white man so much credit when his nation and his people, them as a nation, is new? Europe is a baby. Europe didn't even first have whites. They had black folks there called the Grimaldis. I'm saying to you, how can the white man control all of this when his book is older than all of them? It can't be controlled by white people. That right there kills your whole argument. This book predates Europe. Now, if you want to say black folks tampered with it, now you're talking because they was back there when the book, you know, was being formed. But I'm just saying this book, the Old Testament especially, this stuff was around before Europe. Please comment to that. Just that one statement I made. The Old Testament predates Caucasian. How could the Caucasian have authored and mastered and all this stuff when they weren't even around when these books was written? Help me out, please.
Okay, plus now, how do I want to ask this? Was there any Christians when Constantine was alive? This
I don't want to talk about Constantine. Constantine was yesterday. I want to go back last. See, that's what I mean. You're not answering my question. You said
all right,
Christians.
Go ahead. Answer the question.
Of course there was Christians in Constantine's time, okay? But I'm not talking about no newborn Constantine out of fresh Europe. I'm talking about ancient times. I'm talking about Moshe and David. I'm talking about ancient forefathers, long time ago. I'm talking about the Old Testament, the Torah. Back in those days, there was no Europe.
Who wrote them then? Who wrote the book?
The books were written by men inspired by the same spirit I'm telling you that we should be led by.
Well, put a name on it, brother. Put a name on it.
I'm putting a name on it. The spirit is the author of the book.
Well, you had this character name where he wasn't no character. He was in the flesh. He was real. They called him Rashi. Solomon Asnaw. What was his name? I'm gonna get his name. Solomon. I got it. Rabbi Solomon Bar Isaac. Now, this is a character that wrote his version of the Talmud or his version of the Torah in 1080.
Hold on. We ain't playing tonight. I'm not playing because this is really on my time. I'm going to be talking about what I believe. Let me tell you this right now. I don't want to hear about no Talmud on this show because there's a little bit of fake Jews. And listen. We don't acknowledge those people. They don't exist on this show. I don't waste time talking about those Zionists. We don't acknowledge them as Israel. So listen. Whatever they write.
We talking about history, right?
When we talk about Israel, now if you want to talk about some dark-skinned, dust-colored folk that contributed to the writing, maybe I'll entertain that. But we do not acknowledge those people from Europe calling themselves Jews and they writing the Talmud and changing the Bible and this group of priests that just sit up and just make up stuff. I can't think now, but I'm just. No, what'd you say?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Russ. They're trying to write this stuff in the book. So the only way to crush these lying bouncers is to go back to Luxor. See, if they could, they would claim Luxor. Know why they can't claim Luxor? But they know ain't no white folks come from all the Luxor. Only people like you and me.
Okay, listen, this is what I say about Luxor.
The only way you can defeat them, man, in their lives.
Listen.
As long as we claiming we Israel, he do this, we ain't accomplishing nothing. Let's go back and claim. It's two mysteries on this earth, Brussel. It's two mysteries, you and Luxor.
But just listen to me very careful, okay? Because I don't want to. Kind of want to move on with my testimony, but I don't want to disrespect you. Let me just say this to you.
I just don't know what is it about Egypt and Luxor, all of this that you can't marry yourself with, man. That is something you see with your eyes.
I'm married to Luxor. I'm married to Egypt. I'm married to Ethiopia. I'm married to the continent of Africa. You're not talking to some Christian. Listen to me. You're not talking to some Christian that don't know his book. I know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying to you is you went to Luxor, you had a wonderful revelation. I do believe the Most High did share with you.
I had a revolution.
Revolution, revelation, same thing. But listen to me, this is what I'm saying to you. Just because you go to Africa and you feel this kinship, and you should. I saw a video last night on YouTube. I want everybody listening to me to go check out. It's called Empire in Africa. It's going, boy, when you get to looking at this, I want to see what you have to say about Luxor. And this is talking about Sierra Leone. I can't even think right now. My mind is racing. So, but Sierra Leone, y'all know what I'm trying to say, the diamond place. And it's the movie is shot there. It's a documentary. It's not a movie. And, man, they talking about how the international community has caused so much bloodshed in Sierra Leone. I mean, it almost made me cry. I've been through too much to just cry. But I was like, wow, look at these Africans allowing these white people to dominate. And they was kids. I saw them. They showed it. If y'all want to see something that's going to really turn your gut, I'm telling you, don't be eating no food. They showed people getting their heads blew off. They showed boys being beat down by grown men. And I'm saying to myself, I don't care what that boy did. That boy is 9 years old. They put them big boots on this boy's head, stripped him of his clothes right there on the camera. They were shooting people right on camera. So let me tell you something about Africa. Yes, it is grandma and grandpa's house. Everything started there. I want you to listen to me, Brother Joseph. But don't never begin to romanticize this place as some heaven, you know, where everything was just wonderful. Listen to me, please, man.
Listen,
if Luxor was as much as you say, it still would be there today. They did something to provoke the Most High to allow these people from Africa. The Bible says, and I know you're going to go crazy when I say the Bible, but the book says in Jeremiah 1, that the Most High called the people from the north to come down and take Israel. It says that nobody's going to escape these people. The Most High called them his army. Those white people you dogging out, and I don't care for a lot of their ways myself, the Bible calls them, the Most High calls them his army. His army. Because the world, listen, hold on, the planet had turned their back on the Most High. The planet had forsaken his ways. The planet had become rebels against. This is sons of Noah. They had turned their back on the Most High, and he called you. And you probably say, well, Brother Seth, you follow what the white man told you. But watch this. The proof is in the pudding. You can say what you want to say. But how is it 1%? No, excuse me. According to the United Nations, 8% of the world rules 92. How does 8% of the world rule 92%? Are they smarter than we are? Are they wiser than we are? What is it? I don't even think they're more wicked than we are. After I saw that movie, I'm telling y'all, Empire in Africa will have you talking for the next year. You will be, I mean, you should see what these people was doing to their own people.
Sometimes
it was Europe meddling, and sometimes it was just self-hate. These people had so much self-hate. And listen to me, Brother Joseph. What I'm saying is, you got
to
really look at
this. I don't know what you're trying to defend, man. I don't know what you're trying to defend, but you, for those who know, you setting yourself up for failure, man. I'm telling you, Alexander the Greek.
Hold on, man. Somebody want to holler at you or me. They got a question or a comment. I'm going to leave you on the line. I'm going to trust you, so behave, please. 904-240, go ahead, you on the air, please.
Hey, what's up? This is the real Judah. I've been listening to y'all. I've been in the box or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fellow Israelite myself.
That's right.
I just been listening. But I had a question for you. I know we originally from Israel and everything like that. But my question is, because I know we conquered Israel from the Canaanites. So where were we originally from before we came to Israel is my question.
No doubt. That's an easy one. We all from the motherland, everybody.
So we're from Africa originally.
Big time.
Okay, do you know where we're at in Africa?
I'm sorry?
I said, you know where we're at in Africa?
I don't really think it matters. There was, the Bible says the Most High made man from the dust of the earth, and that plant, that nation is dust-colored people. I don't think it matters where from. All I'm saying is, that's what I'm trying to get Brother Joseph to understand. He think I'm hating on Africa. It's just the extreme opposite. I don't think, I'm like Brother Joseph on this respect. I think we've been lied to about Africa. I think we've been lied to about the whole history of that place. It wasn't even called Africa, I think we've been lied to. I think we don't even know that place was so full of lies about it. So I welcome the research of Africa, but I don't like this business of taking the book and chopping up the book and throwing away the book. Brother Joseph believes we don't need this book at all. And there's a lot of people that study Africa to go that direction. But as you're Israelite, you know like I know, we're living out these prophecies, and you can't maneuver millions of people.
Deuteronomy. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask the brother, what year was the first Bible printed?
You said what year? I don't know exactly what year.
You should know. You ever heard
Maybe
of
Maybe I should, but I don't know exactly what year. But that's not important. The Bible is here now, so that's the only thing that's really important to me. I mean, that's just a sizzle. I'm worrying about the stake, and that's the belief that Yahshua is the son of Yahweh and died on the cross for our sins and rose. That's my main thing, When if you can get that down packed, everything else is, just comes after that, so...
I'm not working with that type of belief system. And see what I'm saying, bro, man. Have you ever heard of Moses Ben, Mamona Dean, Desiderius Erasmus? You ever heard of Lancelot Andrews? See, the Bible is not a history book. It's not. So if you want to go on a mission, go into history. Start back with Alexander the Great.
I don't need to go back to a white man, Alexander the Great. I want to go back before him. Take me back to Adam and Eve.
Let me jump in just for a second, Brother Joseph. This is what I don't understand, Brother Joseph, about you and this whole white man thing. To me. I'm gonna pretend I'm on your side, and I'm gonna shoot at the brother on the phone.
You don't have to do that.
Listen, hold on. I want to prove a point. This is what you should be saying. If you wanted to attack Christianity, don't use nothing about no white man, because the white people, they're not that old. You should go back and just do like a lot of brothers that study Egypt. They like Walter Williams, for one. Well, actually, he do the same thing you're doing. What y'all both should do is quit talking about the white man. Go back when it was all dark-skinned people, and then start cutting down Christianity based upon the writings on the stones, the hieroglyphics of the Metzner. Use an analogy like you talked about earlier, how there was more than one Savior, there's 16 crucified Savior. That has more weight. It still don't sway me, but that's more stronger argument. But when you start talking about white people, they are new.
Hold up, brother. You ain't saying nothing to us. Now, look, why are you scared to study? Why are you scared to look at what is written? We're not talking about none that came out of Luxor or Egypt. We're talking about what these white folks wrote, like Mamona Dean and Desiderius Erasmus. We're talking about these people, them people. We're talking about them. We ain't talking about nothing in Luxor, because they don't know a damn thing about Luxor, nothing. So I'm saying, what is it that about Luxor you don't want to get?
I don't know why you're hearing that, man. And your boy's in the break in the chat room, and he says, 24 Dread, welcome to the show, 24 Dread. He says Christianity is only 6,000 years old, right? Again, let's go back further than Christianity. Let's go back before Christ.
If what you say holds water.
Not even 6,000.
I'm sorry?
I said not even Christianity is not even 6,000 years old.
So all I'm saying to you and 24 Dread and anybody else that's studying, I really want y'all, brothers. I love y'all, and I want y'all to keep doing what y'all doing. But to me, that's weak. Don't use the white man. He hasn't been around that long.
That's what I'm saying. See, y'all don't think this white man capable of what he did and what he's doing today. See, I asked y'all, what year was the first Bible printed? Y'all should know it. Y'all saying y'all believers.
Well, I understand, maybe we should, but that's not important. Like I said, you're worried about the sizzle. We're not worried about the sizzle. We're worried about the steak. The Bible is here now. Let's worry about what can we learn from it now. You know,
you didn't come in the world with a belief system or a Christian religion. You know,
but the Holy Spirit put it in me. The Holy Spirit put that belief in me, though.
You came in the world with everything.
Maybe I wasn't born.
You came in the world with everything you need. You need nothing else. Nothing.
Well, listen, Brother Joseph, let me say this to you now. Caller, you missed this earlier. Both of y'all missed it. Brother Joseph, I don't know why. This is the one show you hung up on, but I've had a show, my brother, both of y'all, and it was a show where nobody could use no Bibles. Nobody could use the Torah. Nobody could use Hindu scriptures. Nobody could use the Muslim Bible. And I said, How do you fare out if I subtract from your life every holy book? Brother Joseph, you couldn't use none of those white people you're quoting, because you're dogging out white people, but you're dogging out white people by quoting other white people, because most of that stuff you're saying, all them people, even Walter Williams, as much as you respect him, he constantly quotes white people. This is what I'm saying to you. I go by something stronger than that. I'm higher than y'all. Listen, please. I'm not trying to dominate. Let me just get this out. I go by the Spirit. Listen to me, Brother Joseph. Please hear me out. I know I can validate. I told you in 8,000 years, if you took around all the scriptures out of off the earth right now, in 8,000 years, we have the Bible back. Because nature is going to tell you, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We're going to see people dying from bearing false witness. We're going to see people fighting over sleeping with their wives, and we're going to know. So we can formulate the Ten Commandments by just nature. So sooner or later, our book will be back. But can you say that for the Egyptian Book of the Dead?
Hey, man, what is it about your people you dislike like that? What is it that... Why you have so much self-hatred in you, man? Why you don't want to study and look at what you should be looking at, bro, sir? Who wrote that King James Bible? Where that King James Bible came from? We know where it came from.
Listen,
so all the people that know, you sound like a very uninformed, illiterate type person. Because a lot
now
of
listen,
people
hold
know
on, that. Hold on, let me say something to you. Let me say something, because this is a trick. Let me tell you something. Now, I want you, my brother, you still on the phone line?
Your trick on.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, what was your name again?
The Real Judah.
The Real Judah.
That's
okay,
my name right there, The Real Judah.
Okay, The Real Judah. Check this out. Watch this. You are The Real Judah. I agree with you on that. Or Yehuda. Absolutely. Now, watch this. This is what people do. This is what people do. They come on the phone line, like Brother Joseph, and they mention a bunch of names, and ain't nobody going to know.
Names you scared to look at.
Hold on. Let me finish.
Names you scared to look at.
Listen.
Names you scared to look at.
I mentioned gifts of the Spirit. You didn't know that. Hold on. Let me finish. See, what happens is, my brother, Real Judah, they come on the line, they'll name names, and they'll say, do you know this person? And, of course, you're going to say no. Do you know this person? You can say no. You know this? No. Do you know what happened in 2000 A.D. at 9:45 a.m.? No. And so after a while, anybody listening to you, anybody listening to the conversation, say, well, that brother don't know a lot. The other brother kind of got him. But let me tell you something, Brother Joseph. I don't have to know none of the white folks. I don't have to know none of them white people. I don't have to know everything that happened in history. This belief system I have, you don't have to be no scholar. It's all about a heart. It's all about a father and his children. It's all about the Most High and his creation. I don't have to know everything in history to try to validate where I'm at. I know what my spirit says. I know what I hear in my spirit. I know that there is a higher power. I believe in this book because this book, I've tested it. Can you test what you believe? Do you have a testing system for what you believe? Let me give you a good example. Let me give you an example. The Bible says, let me show you what I mean by test your belief system. We got a Bible here. It's got over 1,000 promises, which means it says if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. So if we do A and B don't happen, we throw this book away. If we do C and D don't happen, we throw this book away. If we do F and G don't happen, we throw this book away. We have a... Listen, my brother, this is where you are uneducated. This is why I want you to really listen to me, man, from brother to brother. You got to come up with something to refute that system. There are promises in this book. Let me give you another example. Who wrote it? Tell me that.
You ain't looked at. You ain't researched enough. You going on blind faith. You can move on.
I just told you who wrote the book. I'm going to tell you right now who wrote the book. Listen to me. I'm telling you who wrote the book. It's impossible for a white man to have wrote the book. If you said anybody white, you lost me right there. Number one, the book was inspired by the Most High. Satan moved into mankind to try to tamper the book, take books out of the Bible, change letters around in the Bible, duplicate chapters, all kinds of things about this book. Somebody might say, well, Brother Seth, if you know that, why you read it? I read it because it's not my number one source. My number one authority is the Spirit that wrote the book, not the book. The book been tampered with. So you can dog the Bible out all you want, but you can't dog the Spirit out inside of me.
Hey, Brother Seth, all I want, look, the Brother Judah, man, do this. Ma, when you get the time, put in Walter Williams on YouTube, and don't be afraid to listen. Don't be afraid to further your research. I dare you to do it.
And when you do that, I want you to make a note of how many times Walter Williams referred to white people. He's going to dog out white people in one breath, then he's going to turn around and use. Hold on, brother, I'll let you just get that out. Now, I played the man for a whole hour on my show. They'll turn around and dog out the white man and say they're wicked, they're devils, they're destroying Egypt, they're trying to divide us as a people. Then they'll turn around and quote his cousin on something else he say. And they got all these books about what white people have said about Egypt. And then they come when they find a controversy or when one white man is saying something that's not true, then they use the other white man to prove this white man was lying. Look, this is what I say to all of them. Look, if you ain't got nothing better for our people, you can say what you want and say, yes, I do believe that white supremacy is causing us some pain, Brother Joseph. That's where you are right.
That's why me and you beefing in the other Hebrew brother beefing, because we don't want to recognize our own. There's none in the history about Israel, a Hebrew Israelite. The whole, and where you think this Moses...
Hold on. Where you get that from? There ain't no history about a Hebrew Israelite. Where you get that from?
It ain't. And Judaism is not a BC religion.
Where did you get that from? Somebody had their hand up. Go ahead and put your hand back up.
I'm going to tell you where I got it from. And I want you to do your research. All you got to do is look up Mamona Dean, Desiderius Erasmus. Do that, brother. Do that.
Brother Joseph, let me say something to you. Let me say this to you.
You won't even look. These is people that's on record.
Listen, man, if I want to start trying to look up everybody that has something to say, that's speaking the same kind of things you're talking about, I will be studying between now and next year. I've spent 25 years, I'm sure I come across that brother, researching a lot of this stuff you're talking about. I just don't remember all these people. And I remember having to say, how do you know these people right? Just because you run across somebody and they say the Bible ain't true, the Bible ain't this, that Bible, how do you know it's true? I mean, what do you... We're telling you, I know I'm telling you for sure, and possibly Real Judah is telling you, we believe in this book because it's a right now book. It's
That's the whole problem. Y'all fooling with a belief system. Just like y'all hooked on that prophecy. Ain't nothing accurate about that prophecy. White man is playing reality out according to what they wrote.
Okay. Now, let me do this. I got to move on.
Came over here.
Judah, did you have any more questions or comments?
Yeah, oh yes, one more question. A lot of our fellow brothers, they have this belief, which I don't really believe. A lot of Israelites, you know, they get angry at me for not believing. But a lot of our fellow Israelites have this belief that only Israel can be saved. Only our people, the Israelites, can be saved. And I don't believe that. I believe Gentiles, if they, you know, if they really pray.
Worry about white people, man. Worry about your own people. Worry about your own people, bro, man. We can't save the world. Try to save your own.
Okay, now hold on. Okay, are you done with your comment, bro? Just hold on, because really and truly, I'm letting you talk a whole lot longer. You're not co-hosting with me today. You're calling in as a caller. You're giving me a whole lot of time. So I'm gonna wrap you up in a second, but before I wrap you up, I want to see if Brother Real Judah have any more comments. We got somebody else with their hand up, and I want to get to them.
Yes, I want to see what you think about. Do you think Gentiles can be saved, or you think only Israelites will be saved?
I think the Most High never. You got to understand who the Gentiles are. White people ain't nothing but black people with no pigmentation. I can prove it. I've done so many shows on this, it ain't funny. White people come from black people, and I don't know why we want to segregate them like they're so evil. Whatever evil white people do, I can find. Hold on, Brother Joseph. Hold on, but I'm going to mute you, man, if you just can't wait. I'm trying to let you hang on with us, but if you're going to be talking, just hold on a second. I don't know why there's so much hatred for white people when they are us. If you need a kidney, doctors will tell you sometime a white person... Sometimes a white person's kidney is better for you than your own sister's. What I'm trying to say is this. We're the same people. They just don't have pigmentation, be it in the eyes, be it in the, you know, the hair. It's just us. When Michael Jackson loses pigmentation, or any other albino person with vitiligo lose the pigmentation, what white skin are they? Are there a different white skin than white people? No. They're the same white skin. And I'm going to ask you this question that YouTube asked on a video that's been looked at over a million people. Have you ever seen an albino from Pakistan doing the news? You're going to say to me, no. And everybody listening to me on the sound of my voice will say, no. You will never, ever see a Pakistani or Indian person, albino, doing a news station. And we just picked that particular job, but I can mention other jobs. You know why? Because they would be white. They have this clip on YouTube where they're showing this albino Pakistani and a white man, and you don't get it. You're saying, I just see two white people in there. What's the deal? And they're trying to show you that's the deal. You don't know the difference between them. I rest my case. I don't know why we create this monster called a white man and start making everything so evil when everything that white man can think of, we did it five times worse than he is. They want to say the white man invented homosexuality. That's not true. Black folks got that. I used to think there was a homosexuality in Africa. In South Africa right now, as we speak, I got people on my Facebook that live there. They are raping lesbian women because it's an epidemic in South Africa. We started everything good and bad. Real Jude, I'm going to go ahead and move on. I got another person to hand over. Brother Joseph, I'm going to Real Judah, thank you, man, for your comment, okay? I'm going to move on, though, okay?
Thank you. All right.
All right. But of course the Gentiles can't be saved. That's the whole purpose of Christ. Let me open up this line one more time for this brother. Real Judah, I'm going to bring you back just for a second. But that is the whole purpose of Christ coming and dying, that the Gentile was being grafted in, because the Most High never wanted some little old tiny family called Israel. He started with the planet, wanted to end with the planet. So Israel was made blind that the Gentiles may be grafted in. Now there is no such thing, really. The Most High is not working with natural Israel the way he was. He's working with spiritual Israel. You hear me, brother?
Yeah, I hear you.
Little Judah?
Yeah, I hear you. So he's working with the belief now, the belief in Yahweh. Not really the physical anymore.
He's not working with physical Israel like he was in ancient times. He's working with spiritual Israel, because these are people after his heart. I just read Romans 2, how the spiritual person whose heart was right pleased him more than the person that had the law. He's not working. That's why I don't understand why all these Israelites.
So are we bound by? Are we still bound by the law, or is we judged by our faith in Yahshua now?
We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, not by the law. We ain't understand the law. That's what I don't get. All these people trying to be, we don't even understand the law. And check this out. Check this out before I go to the next caller. Caller, area code 70893, I'm coming to you. But real quick, Brother Joseph, I got you on mute for now because I got to move on, Joe. I'll come back to you in a second. Don't hang up. I'll come back to you in a second. But all I'm saying is, my brother, Israel always dropped the ball. The Most High never was favored on people. He favored their forefather, Abraham. He never was excited about Israel. Why should he just keep salvation locked into these hard-headed, knucklehead people? And furthermore, even of the great patriarchs like Moses and a lot of them, the Bible says that their righteousness, when they did try to keep the law, the great ones, their righteousness was as filthy rags. So now we got folks in 2012 that want to go get the same law, and they think that they can please the Most High, and just they ain't offering no bulls, sacrificing no animals, ain't doing none of the stuff Job did, none of the sacrifice Moshe did, and they thinking they can please the Most High. And they run around there keeping the Shabbat looking crazy, thinking that they can justify by that.
Yes, you see them in New York all the time.
Huh?
In New York all the time acting crazy and just, you know, cussing out whites and calling whites dogs and acting like the Pharisees, you know, when Yahshua came.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for them. They're taking our people backwards. They're taking our people backwards. But listen, hopefully I answered your question, my brother, but there's a show I did. My very first two shows dealt with the righteousness of, I think it says, it's about right. The first two shows I did, it's 100 devoted, 2 hours, 4 hours altogether on just this subject. Check it out, my brother, okay?
Okay.
All right. Shalom, my brother. Appreciate that.
Shalom.
All right. Area code 708. Sorry about having you on hold so long. 903, go ahead with your question or comment.
No problem. All praise to the Most High Power. And blessings and peace to the brothers and sisters on the that can hear my voice. The brother had asked a question. He said, can people outside of Israel be saved? Technically, no. Why? I'm going to give you the information. The other nations didn't fall or were not chosen by the Most High to have to be saved or redeemed or adopted back into the covenant. Because if you take it to, you want to deal with Romans, go to Romans chapter 9. It'll tell you who Christ came for. Not for everybody. He said, to whom are Israelites, who are the fathers, to whom Christ came for in the flesh. And who died for? He died for us. Now, he say the other nations, basically, we were supposed to be the light to the other nations. And we want the light, the whole world is off. So when we off, the whole world be off. That's why the world like it is now, because we off.
Well, Hold on, Brother Gabriel. Let's take this one at a time, like I did, Brother Joseph. I'll do you the same way. Brother Joseph, I ain't forgot about you. Just hold on. Don't hang up. I'll bring you back on. Brother Gavia, you said something. You got to explain yourself. You said technically no. Where are you getting Romans 9 that the Gentiles can't be saved? Please share them with us.
Well, like I was saying, if I'm going to put it this way. If I'm not your father, what would be the purpose of you staying up to my standards? So if I'm not your father, you don't have to really
Hold on, red flag. That means you can't go further without proving what you just said. You just said, if I'm not your father. Where do you get that from?
Well, my point, I was making an analogy, but if you want me to go straight to the word.
The Bible says of all the nations of the earth, you have known. He had a relationship with the Most, with Israel, but that he never said that you are. I'm your only. I'm not a father to anybody else. Anybody that's righteous, he's a father to. Matter of fact, he opened up the earth and swallowed these so-called people he's family with. So they not family like you think, because he swallowed up thousands of them in a day. So it wasn't based upon no Israel.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He took, swallowed up the whole family, their household, and all their possessions.
So they can't be his family.
They were still worshiping the golden calf. So, and it was against Moses, the prophet, or the chosen one, or the Most High. So if the Most High allowed them to stay alive, they would have brought discord and dissension amongst the brethren. So he eliminated the bad seed. That's why it took 40 years to eliminate all the bad seed. Everybody.
No. Don't get off the subject.
You brought up something. I'm giving you the whole history. I don't give part because that's how people get confused. Like you talking about spiritual Israel. Ain't nowhere in the Bible saying nothing about no spiritual Israel. That's some bull crap. He said according to the flesh. He ain't say nothing about no spiritual Israel. Now I put it like this. All that fleshly Israel ain't going to be saved because they don't have the spirit.
We just read earlier in Romans 2, Brother Gabriel. I don't think you was on the line then. But it went on to say that there were some people who did not have the law at all. But they had a heart.
On their heart.
Please let me get out. Let me get out.
Gentile means Hellenistic Jews. So they were Jews that were living in the Grecian or the Greek or the Roman way. So
Listen, these are Noah's children you're talking about. Now I want you to listen to me for a second. These people come from Noah.
You right?
Let me get this out.
Go ahead.
Japheth, what you're probably gonna say, Japheth or Japheth, was one of Noah's sons, and that's where the white race come from. A lot of people believe
that. That's what they called the Gentiles. The Gentiles, I know.
Okay, I don't quite believe that they were white people at all, but some people believe that, that's fine. But listen to what I'm trying to say to you. Japheth was Noah's son. Listen to me. This were black folk. This wasn't no white man. Listen to me,
okay.
There's holes in this teaching. Listen to me. The Gentiles is a people that did not worship the Most High, but their forefathers believed in the Most High. Listen to me, man. They got twisted up in pleasures, and they began to create all these other gods. But they're not the only ones that did that. Moses stepped away just for a little while, and Israel did the same thing. Listen to my, your brother tonight. All of us are the same way. If we stay away from the scriptures, we all start turning back to the paganistic way. If I came to your house right now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I bet I could find some paganistic things you do. Listen to what I'm saying, and I do. Now, listen, let me get this out. I don't know that. But I'm saying we all have this nature inside of us. Israel just was lucky or blessed enough to have a leader that was on them like that, but they all are the same. Mankind is the same. Christ came to shed his body to die for our sins once and for all for mankind, to take away sin out of the picture so we have this relationship with the Most High. And then, and by then, were the Gentiles engrafted in. He never was about this little nation called Israel. I don't know why all these folks jumping up and down. I'm proud to find out I'm an Israelite too. Don't get me wrong. Because I wonder why we have been fulfilling these prophecies as a black man, so-called black man. I wonder now all these questions are answered because we've met to fulfill these prophecies. But it don't look right to me, and I want to know what y'all have to say when y'all see white people with that character that Romans 2 talks about, with that conscience that's full of the Most High, that they want to live right, that they want to end race, and they speak out against their people. I would love to see how all of these Israelites that's hating on these people, what they have to say. This is when they start hiccuping. No, you either right or you wrong. Either these people are of the devil, they can't be saved, it ain't time for them, blah, blah, blah. But they switch. This is how I know the doctrine is wrong, man. The brother, real Judah, was on, asked a simple question. We're supposed to give this brother the right information. He wants
to
know.
That's what I was about to do. I can go to Scripture and prove you that. Well, I'm going to put it this way. From Genesis to Revelation, who was the Scripture directed to? Genesis to Revelation. Who was it directed to?
Genesis to. You need to say Genesis to Malachi to prove your point. I know what you're trying to say, but you're saying.
No, actually, Genesis to Revelation is directed at one
Genesis
people.
Genesis to Revelation, you can't say that because to Genesis to Malachi is to the Israelites. But Matthew to Revelation
you're,
is to everybody.
You're right. The Israelites that was left there. Let me read the scripture. Acts 2:21. This is the precept for John 3:16. People don't understand. This is something you need to learn for yourself. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. My point is, when people say he came for the whole world, he was talking about Israel. So I'm going to break it down to you. If you go in Isaiah, the whole world to the Most High is Israel. You go to Ezra chapter 6, verse 54 on down, it'll tell you the other nations are like a conspittle. And the abundance of them is like a drop from a bucket. Then you say, the people from Noah, he said, that's for the other nations that came from Adam. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the other nations can't come to the kingdom, but they have their role. The kings have their role, and they have service. There will be service in the kingdom. So,
Brother Gabriel, when you came on
the
line,
if the other nations didn't fall, that's what I mean. Say what?
When you first came on the line, you said, no, they can't be engrafted in.
No, I ain't say that. You said, can they be saved? I said, technically, no, because they don't have to be saved. They didn't want the one that didn't failed in their job of the Most High. The Most High chose a people to be a nation of priests, a holy priesthood. So basically, the holy priesthood failed. So they had to be saved or adopted back. Like I read another scripture, like I was trying to say in Romans 9, because, you know, 9:1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have grace, heaviness, and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. What's the adoption? We was adopted back into the Most High family. And the glory. What's the glory? Heaven. And the covenant. The covenant was given to us. And the giving of the law. You know the giving of the law was given to the Israelites. Who was the law given to? Moses, Adam, and other upright, or Yasha.
Brother Gabriel, somebody in the chat room.
In the service of the Most High.
Hold on. Brother, somebody in the chat room had a question for you or a comment for you. They said, why would Paul go to the Greeks to preach if only
first of all, if you
could be saved?
If you actually get a strong concordance, Greek mean Hellenistic Jew. Gentile mean Hellenistic.
Did you see that? I noticed when I asked you the question, I was reading this question. Before I can finish it, You was already commenting. Did you hear the whole question? Let me read it again.
Why
would he go to them to be saved? Why would he go to them to be saved? To be preached the gospel to? Why would the Most High have Paul wasting his time?
Who said he wasted his time? Because basically, if you actually do a little research, I'm not insulting, you did a lot of, but certain words, when it was written, they had different meaning, like Greeks. Now, if you see stranger or Grecians, they said to the Grecians, those are the seed of Japhet or Japhet, because Japhet where the Grecians come from. Long story short, if you say Grecians, that's what you would call Greek, but if I say the Greeks, there was people like me and you that were dispersed into other areas, like the Bible said in Deuteronomy 64, you should be scattered to all nations from one end of the earth, and you should serve wood and stone with your fathers knew. So my point is, in Greece or Rome, they were following Hellenistic practices. They were called Hellenistic Jews.
Oh, no,
so
you keep getting off the subject, man.
You said why you said Jew or Greek. Why you go to the Greeks? The Greeks,
listen,
in the Bible, meant nothing but Hellenistic Jews. Dude, I know you got proper Greek or Hellenistic Jews, and what's the proper Greek?
Brother Gabriel, it don't matter. It don't matter who they're talking about. The brother came on the line. The brother said that he's a real Judah. Shalom, body of Christ. Welcome to the chat room. The brother came on and asked a question. Can the Gentiles be saved? Is it just only for the Israelites? He have just come into the fact. I don't know how long he's been in, probably for a while. He's come into the realization that he is one of the true tribes of Israel. And I was sharing earlier with Brother Joseph, who's online, probably pissed off that I hadn't got back to him, that the Most High is no longer looking at just natural Israel. Natural Israel has always been a thorn in his flesh. I mean, not in his flesh because he don't have a flesh, but I mean the Most High have never, ever been happy with Israel. Never. You can't show me one scripture where he says, I'm pleased with these people. He's always been on the borderline of killing them. He always had Moses or Moshe to stand in the gap and fight for these people. Never have he been thought. So now all of a sudden we got all these black people, which I welcome the revelation. Thank the Most High for revealing to us who are the true Jews, the true Israelites. And we've been scattered out the four corners, and some are in the so-called Americas. We understand that because of Deuteronomy and us fulfilling the prophecies. Thanks to the Most High for that revelation. But for us to get so haughty and start changing our name to all these long Hebrew names, which is fine because that's our true heritage, but then to turn around and look at the Gentiles and make like they're devils and they can't be saved and be on up in New York on 110th Street or wherever they're at, those Israelite brothers, calling them out, all these crazy names, that is the craziest thing we could do. We barely made it in. We should be saying to the whites and to anybody that does not fulfill those prophecies in Deuteronomy 28, let me tell you about the Elohim or the God of Israel. Let me tell you what he requires out of you. Look at my life. He has blessed me, and we should be leading the nations back to the Most High, not sitting up here talking down like we some great. It is the most craziest thing. And you know who do this? Babies. People that just come into this 2 years ago. Those of us that have been born and raised up in the church, I don't think a lot of these folks is doing that. As many problems as the church have and as much hatred as I have towards a lot of church issues, still that's one thing I have to give a lot of these people raised in church. They have more love, but these folks that just found out yesterday they're Israel, they have some of the most hatred. They're doing some of those craziest things on Facebook and MySpace. They just spewing out hatred. And that is the craziest thing. And you came on the line, Brother Gavia. You know you and I, we agree on a lot of stuff, but I think you're one of them. You came on
to if you want to, you said body of Christ on that. Body of Christ and the gathered Christ is who I follow. I've watched a lot of them other videos, too. I'm not going off of what they're talking about. I ain't say the Gentiles won't be in the kingdom, but they have their role. That's what I'm saying. Who are the 144,000? They're all Israelites. I ain't say other people ain't going to be there. I ain't saying that. I ain't never say that in the first time. You said, can they be saved? They don't have to be. they didn't make the error before the Most High. They were not chosen to do a special role. So it was must given, must is required, and they do what was required. That's what I'm trying to get at.
You said because they can't be saved.
No, I didn't say that. They don't have to be saved. That's what I was trying to get at. If my son do error, I have to correct him. But if somebody else's son do error, it's on them.
What do you mean they don't have to be saved? Area code 760, I see you. I see you. I'm going to get to you in a second. Brother Joseph just couldn't hold. He just had to have his way. Oh, maybe he is holding. Okay, well, all right. I ain't going to dog him out just yet. But the person that just called, call back. Call back. I guess they just got tired of waiting the little 3 seconds they was waiting. Okay, but brother, listen, I want to move on. I want you to go ahead with your last comments because, you know, I was supposed to be talking about my testimony and I kind of hadn't, I hit it earlier, but haven't been on it too much. So go ahead with your comments, brother, and finish up. Well, I guess that's the one that dropped. Hold on a second. Area code 7604. Area code 760-429. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom.
Well, do me a favor. Just hold 1 second because I got some. The brother is finishing up. Then we're going to come back to you, okay?
Okay.
We'll come right back to you. All right. Area code 708-903. I think this is Brother Gavio back. Brother Gavio, you back?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead and finish up, Brother Gavio.
My whole point, I'm trying to say the other nations don't have a right to the kingdom. But like a king have his court. Now, everybody not part of the court, but everybody is part of his kingdom. That's what I was saying. And the king had to be saved, or the people of the court had to be saved. And the other people was, if they follow the way, they was going to be in there. They didn't have to come. Basically, this may sound confused or backwards, but basically, they in error before the Most High the same way that the children of Israel. Because they say no other nation has done sin like Jerusalem, under the whole heavens. I'm misquoting, but it's something like that.
But let me ask you a question another way, because it's very confusing what you just did. Let me ask you a point blank question. I'm calling you right now. My name is, you know, Bob. I'm a white man. I happen to be listening to the show because it probably is a white person listening to the show right now. So one of my white brothers and sisters listening right now, they're going to ask you this question. So can I be saved? Can I be a part of the Commonwealth of Israel, you know, the God of the Old Testament, New Testament? Can I be included in his promises and his blessings? Yes or no?
Well, the promises was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as far as the promises, no. But as far as being a part of the kingdom, yes. That's a whole different thing. That's what I was trying to get at.
Do I get blessings as a part of the kingdom?
Like I said, if you're in the kingdom, that's basically, I put it like this. If I wasn't Israel, I don't want to be a servant of the children of Israel. That's what other nations will be.
Why would the Most High have a Gentile nation serving a knucklehead people that don't want to halfway live for him, never want to live for him? Only thing great about Israel was their forefather Abraham. Why would the man, let me move on, Brother Garvey. I just don't understand the haughtiness. You know, I just don't understand it.
Question.
I don't understand
it. What does the Bible say, though? Can I read another scripture and prove that? I'm going to Revelation.
I'm asking you. Listen, I got
to
move on.
No, I mean,
you need to listen to what the Bible is saying. The Bible says that the strangers now they are now part of the Commonwealth of Israel. If they are part of the Commonwealth, they're part of the Commonwealth of Israel. Why do you try to disenfranchise who the Most High said is now his people? You can't do that.
Well, I ain't gonna battle no more. Body of Christ still on there. They'll answer way better and more politically correct than I will. So if they on there, ask them. Their answer is way correct. They ain't preaching no hate doctrine at all.
It's about no body of Christ. It's about what you saying, because somebody didn't hear.
I know what I'm talking about. But you put it this way: the Most High divides the nation for a reason. So
You say you want everybody inclusive because we was rejected from you. You want to be accepted by people that don't like us and all that.
Let me say this real quick. Hold on, my brother. I got to shut you off for a second. Just hold on 1 second. Those of y'all on the phone in the chat room, if you want to, you got to call quick. You got 31 seconds to call that phone line, 760-283-0838, up in your right-hand corner, left-hand corner, because this thing is about to shut down. Again, those of y'all on the chat room, you want to not be locked out of the show. You got to call. You got now 13 seconds. You can do it. Call the phone lines. We got several people on the phone lines. You got to call the phone lines because the chat box is, you won't be able to hear, you won't be able to look on the computer. If you call in, it might let you in, okay? 760-283-0838. There it goes. Time is out. Hopefully, y'all got in. All right, let me go back to this brother. Please wrap up, Brother Gabriel. I got another brother, 760-429, that want to comment. I got to get him back in. Go ahead, please wrap it up, please.
One more wrap it up like this. I'm going to say peace and blessings and Godspeed to the true followers of the Most High Power. Ahaya Basum Yeshaya Wawawa.
Shalom to you, my brother. All right, let me move on. Area code 760-429. Well, I'm not going to mention all your number. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, this is the brother from Body of Christ. And just listening to the show, catching your show, and you were saying some interesting statements about the different hate that the Israelite groups have been teaching about the nations. And if you look in the scriptures tell us to be at peace with all men, first and foremost. And what a lot of these Israelite groups don't understand, that Israel is scattered to the four corners of the earth, into all the countries of the earth, and they're not going to all come back looking like Wesley Snipes.
Ha, that's good. I like that.
This is on Titus 3 and 9. It says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Because you have a lot of groups, what they do, they go into genealogies. I'm from this tribe. They would ask, I've been in this for a long time now. So something that we used to do, we don't do anymore, is that it's like, where are you from? Who are you from? Where are you from? But the scriptures tell us, this is 1 Timothy 1 and 4, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Because we don't have those records like we had before, where we can check. It's like, okay, what tribe are you from? Or you have the Aaronic line, or you from Judah. We don't have that anymore. So what do we have? We have what Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. So if someone comes like, look, I want to hear what the word of the Lord is saying, who am I to say who you are?
Body of Christ, were you listening to Brother Joseph earlier?
No, I didn't catch it all. I came on the tail end when you were talking about
Joseph is a guy that he feel like you should throw the whole Bible away.
No, you shouldn't do a whole.
I want to bring him back on the line. He's not my co-host. I've had him on for a while because he's into studying Luxor. He believes that the Bible is full of white man lies. I just would like to see, because he's heard me, everybody heard me talk to his brother. Tonight I was supposed to be talking about what I believe, but we've been letting Brother Joseph, you know, talk just as much as I have, and I want him to ask you a question. Do you mind?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother Joseph, I know you're pissed. I had you on hold a while, but I want you to ask this brother a question, this brother from the Body of Christ.
Let me see. What would my question be? You caught me off guard a little bit. Okay, my question would be, what year was the first Bible printed, brother?
No, I couldn't tell you what year the first Bible was printed.
Okay, well, do this for me. Tomorrow sometime, put in Walter Williams on your YouTube, and just sit back and just listen and start your research from there.
That's fine.
Tell them what Walter Williams is.
Can I ask
tell
you a
question? Tell them what Walter Williams is.
Tell them who Walter Williams is. Okay. Walter Williams is a brother. He's been on a 35-year-plus research mission, and he went where no other brother has went. And I'm going to say this. He's the most dangerous black man in America today. because he got plenty of meat on his plate, and he asking for whoever think they can come up against him, bring it on.
Okay.
If you can beat them, give you $5,000. And if you can find somebody, he'll give you $2,000.
Okay.
Now,
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Thank you for that information. I will check that out. What was the first thing that Christ was teaching?
See, Christ never existed. And once you watch, once you watch Walter Williams, 35-plus years of research information, and let him help you go along
Well, Walter Williams isn't here.
And you go on your research.
Have you read the Bible yourself?
Me? I ain't no stranger to it.
Have you read it from cover to cover? Have you studied it? I don't know who this Walter Williams guy. I have to go and see who he is, like you said. But it's me. I'm here, and you here. Have you studied and researched the Bible?
Yes, I have. I had a good teacher. Matter of fact, he in federal penitentiary now on some bogus charges.
So what do you believe in?
I don't have no belief system. I believe in myself.
You believe in yourself?
When I came on my mama's womb,
you believe in yourself. Well, here's some research for you. You write this down and you go look it up on YouTube. It's called deism. Deism is the belief of yourself that you believe that you're God, your own personal Jesus. That's what that belief is. When people say that, look, I believe in myself, that's deism. So you do believe in something.
Well, see, the white man has so much authority on everything that we read and take in.
That's one of the problems that we have is that we don't read the Bible. We don't read anything. And I'm in London right now, and they had the riots over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, you know, black people just rioting and going into shops and taking everything. Well, guess what? There wasn't one bookstore that was broken into. Not even the glass was broken. They left them completely alone, unharmed, untouched. That's the problem. Our people, we don't read.
Mm-hmm. And we don't listen. See, I love to listen. And I stop from there.
Brother Joseph, let me say this,
because everybody heard you talk about Walter Williams. Now you mentioned his name about 8 times. You've got a lot of plugs in for him. So I'm going to meet you here in a little bit, but I just want to say something to you and the brother. The reason why I wanted you to talk to him, because I just wanted the brother to share from, he sounded like me in some ways. And instead of you hearing me all the time, I wanted you to hear what he had to say. I do think what he said was very powerful. You kind of went over like, yeah, I studied a great teacher. But I bet you some money, you didn't know about the gifts of the Spirit. You didn't know that, Brother Joseph. We talked about it. You didn't know all the prophecies of Israel. You didn't know. We talked about it many weeks. You didn't know about that. You don't know about Leviticus 26. You don't know about that. You know, you can go and study all the Egypt books about Egypt and Luxor, and you should. Please do. Because I know there's treasure there. Hold on,
read Luxor, because them people never wrote about themselves.
Can I give you a plug, brother?
Go
and research this guy. His name is David Rohl. He's a British guy. And what he does, he proved the validity of the scriptures through archaeology. So he's went and he's walked through the biblical lands. He's went and he's gone to Jericho where they found the ancient Jericho and the walls were falling down. He found it. So
don't believe it.
He's going through.
What's his name?
David Rohl. It's David Rohl.
Brother Joseph just said something very interesting. When you said that, he said, don't believe it. I got a question for you, Brother Joseph. Do you know David Rohl?
I know I bet you he's an agent. I bet you he's an agent from
Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph.
No, I do not. I don't need to know him because he's an agent. His job, is to keep you.
Okay, Brother Joseph. That's it, my brother. I don't know what else to say, man. You've spoken enough tonight. I'm going to have to meet you, man. I mean, that was very cold-hearted. Now, you want this brother to go check out a brother he don't have no clue about. You don't have no clue about this brother, and you say, don't believe it. Don't believe it. This is what our people, and I'm not going to, you know, I've let you talk most of the show, man, so I'm not being rude by not bringing you on. I think that's it for tonight, man. That was cold-hearted. And this is what our people deserve. Our people deserve better than that. If I'm going to have Walter Williams on this show, which I had him on audio, a whole hour, surely you can go check out David Rowe. Now, that right there is what I don't like. That's why I can't stomach half these people talking about Egypt and Israel. I mean, in Luxor in Africa. I want to get involved with them. I know there's treasure and untold stories. I know we've been lied to. But when you pull something like that, man, I can't roll like that. Brother, are you still on the line there?
I'm still with you.
So, Brother Body of Christ.
Yes.
Earlier we was talking about the Gentiles being saved. So I think you are on board with the fact that they can be, correct?
Well, as far as the Gentiles, I don't think that according to the scriptures that the Gentiles are going to be saved. I know the Gentiles are going to be in the kingdom. And the scriptures.
What's the difference between being in the kingdom? What's the difference between being in the kingdom and being saved? Because the Bible, I've read many times where they are no more strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. And the commonwealth of Israel means everything Israel entitled to. You know, the Gentiles having it. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, and I think Brother Gabriel is still on the line, he can hear this too.
Uh-huh.
In the Old Testament, you know, it talks about treating the stranger equally. Now, they couldn't be priests. No, it's more than Isaiah. They couldn't be priests, but they were supposed to get everything Israel was entitled to. And once Christ came, Christ's blood is just as good for the Gentile as it is for the Hebrew. And the blood is not cleansing Israel more than it's cleansing the Gentiles.
Well,
listen, hear me out. All sin is washed away. There is no Jew. Or Greek, male, or female, Brother Gabriel. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
So when y'all come along and you set back up these divisions and say, well, wait a minute, we get treated this way, they get treated that way, and then Brother Gabriel says, somebody think I'm going to be a servant in the kingdom? I'm saying these scriptures is what we got to be careful that we don't overlook. The Bible screams out loudly that he is a Jew that is won inwardly by the spirit and the heart, not by the letter and the law, all of that. That's not. Christ came to fulfill the law. The law was a schoolmaster, just something to go by to keep mankind in line. It didn't legislate the heart. The spirit come along. Give me 1 second. The Spirit comes along. Now that we have the Spirit, 30 seconds. Now that we have the Spirit, I'm looking at a clock, literally 30 seconds, now 25 seconds.
No problem.
The Spirit comes along. Now we serve the Most High in spirit and in truth. Now, yes, I do believe he's going to do a work in the latter days with the 244,000. We assume that it's Israel because it says it's from all 12 tribes. So, yes, that's the work he did with natural Israel. The Bible talks about in Romans 9 and 10, and I think 11, how he hasn't forsaken his people. So I'm down with that. But as far as holiness and righteousness, there is no difference between the Jew nor the Gentile.
Well, when you look in the Greek it doesn't say Gentile, it says Greek, because many of the Israelites, when you look at the apocryphal books, like the Maccabees, the first and second Maccabees, Israel went into captivity under the Alexander dynasty, under his four generals, broke up, and they conquered the Israelites, and many other Israelites took on Greek customs. That's history fact. It's the Hellenists and the Grecians, which were Greek-speaking Jews. Now, I know what you're talking about, and we don't speak bad about the other nations. We do our best to live at peace with all men. And the scriptures, there's many scriptures, especially Paul wrote, and Peter wrote about it and said that there's many things that Paul wrote was hard to be understood. When you look at the brother Paul, he was supposed to be the minister to the Gentiles. So when he went to Ephesus, when he went to Corinth, he was going to different synagogues where the Israelites were scattered. And I know for a lot of people, they're like, okay, what about the Gentiles? What about the Gentiles? You know, what I would have to say to you is that we would have to do a sidebar and go through every scripture. You give me scriptures, I'll look at them, because I can tell you, I don't know everything about the scriptures, because the scriptures say we look through a glass darkly. So I'm not going to say this or that. All I can tell you is what I know at this present time.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, my brother. And I've done probably about four shows on this. And
well, I'm going to have to give you my email and give me the scriptures, and we have a sidebar.
Yeah, well, I can do that.
That's the only way we can learn and grow.
Well, I just gave you some. One of them is there is no Jew nor Greek, male nor female. That's pretty clear. As a matter of fact, let me get that out. I'm going to read that to you. And I want you to get the whole chapter. We're not going to
– definitely.
I don't want to turn this into no Bible study, but I just want you to just see something real quick here. Just hold on 1 second. I'll get the book for you. But I just feel like a lot of what's coming out of the Hebrew community is divisive.
It is divisive. It is divisive.
And you know what's behind it? Satan is behind it. And I'm telling you, Israel is – this is Galatians 3. Everybody with your Bibles, please turn to Galatians 3, verse 28, please. Galatians 3, verse 28. And I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. This is no joke. It's serious, and it's dangerous what we're doing. It's very, very dangerous what we're doing. Verse 11. oh my goodness! It's so many scriptures saying what I'm trying to show here. It's just so many scriptures. I don't know where to start. It's verse 21. Yeah, let's move on down. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Right there, stop. Bam, that right there cancels out the law. All that divisive division, can't do this, can't do that. We're justified by faith. That right there is major, but we can break that down even further. 25, but after faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. People don't get that. They said they're going to schoolmaster. It was just a guide. Verse 26, for ye are all children of the Most High by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You've not put on your own identity as an Israelite. You put on Christ. Brother Gabriel, please press one on your phone, because right now your hand is up, and I know since I had you on the phone, it's been up. So press one in your hand and go down, and then later on if you want to comment, because I don't know if you want to comment. You may want to jump in this later on. So press one now. There you go. And then when you have a question later on, press one again, and we'll know you really have a question. But listen,
Can I comment on it when you finish?
Go ahead. Yeah. Comment on what I read so far. Well, let me finish reading the whole thing. Let's just do it right.
All right, yeah. Let's go through it.
Okay. Okay, so it says, verse 26, for ye are all the children For ye are all the children of the Most High by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. One other scripture says, when Christ, who is our life. One other scripture says, we are dead, and now the life that we now live, we live as Christ. Just totally erasing the identity of Israel. Watch this. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. My goodness. How clear can you make that? There's so many scriptures that say this,
okay.
though. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Okay. Could I ask you one question, and then we're going to go over these scriptures. Who is this talking about?
This is talking to the Galatians, which is
okay.
so-called Gentiles.
Okay. Well, when it says, where did you start from? Because I want to start where you started from.
24.
It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. So who was the law given to?
Israel.
So it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Because
yeah, Paul is just saying, people.
Okay. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So it's speaking specifically. It's not speaking generally. And this is something that we used to do and get it wrong. We would take things out of context and try to bring it up today and fit everybody into it rather than looking at the scripture, where it was, when it was written, what it's saying right then and there, where Paul is speaking to the Galatians. So let's just do that. So Paul says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, who was prophesied to be brought to Christ to clear them up? Who was Christ promised to? It's a question. Who lacked faith? It wasn't the Gentiles.
Christ was not just supposed to be, I know you're saying Israel, but there's many parts of Isaiah where it talks about the world was going to be justified through Christ. This prophecy is about the planet.
I would like to see that scripture because I know in many scriptures where it speaks about kings being the Israelites nursing fathers and nursing mothers and
keep reading.
Okay. So it said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. So that's only speaking about the Israelites to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Because that was one of the big problems that the Lord had with the Israelites is that they lacked faith. They did the sacrifices, they did sin, they did premeditated sins, but they didn't have the faith of the Most High. It says, but after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So is Paul saying that they're free to not keep the law? He's not saying that. What he's saying is that what? They're not under that Levitical priesthood. And Paul goes and explains that in Hebrews, in Hebrews 9.
Right, we know that. We know that there's still laws. We know you got to keep the laws of the Most High, but it's different
Christ,
kind of
Christ
laws
did away
now.
Christ did away with the Levitical priesthood, so there's no more sacrifice for sin. Why? Because Christ is the sacrifice for sin. That's why it tells us that what? Christ is our Passover because he was that sacrificial lamb. So nobody should be, you know, during the Passover going getting a lamb and talking about, yeah, this is my, I'm doing the lamb. What are you doing lamb for? You got to have a you can have lamb, but it's not
okay.
You know,
Let's keep moving on. I got you.
Okay, for you all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized under Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond.
Hold on. Don't run over that.
I'm going to read it all and go back. Let me read it all and I'll go back and explain.
Okay.
It says,
go
there's
ahead.
Neither, all right. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So there was just like now, there was divisions back then. You had the circumcision and you had the uncircumcision. You had those that was of the root and those that were grafted in. That was the wild branch. So you had Jews who knew they were Jews, and then you had the Greeks who were the Greek-speaking Jews. You have to understand, it says Greek. There's a reason why it says Greek. You had those that were in captivity. You had those that were free. Like Paul, he was a free man. He had Roman citizenship, even though he was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. But then you had Israelites that were bond. They were in captivity. That's why the scripture says that, you know, a man that's bond, he'll be Christ's free man. A man that's free, he's going to be Christ's bondman. It says there's neither male nor female, because in Joel, the second chapter, it tells you that what? The Lord was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon the sons and daughters of Israel. Then
hold on. It says all flesh, not just on Israel.
Well, you have to go back and read what it says in its context, and I can go back and read that in Joel too. And that's one of the things that
No. Let me just read for you, Joel, too. It don't say no Israel. Hold on.
Let's get it and read.
Joel 2.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say, and I'm on verse
There's many places you're going to start from.
It's actually Joel. Hold on a second. I just read it here. One second. Yeah, it's actually Joel 2:28.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, 27 says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams." And he's talking about what he said, that he's talking about Israel. But he just said he's going to pour it out upon everybody, and then he tells them what is going to happen in Israel when he pours it out.
Can I ask
a question? Hold on.
Okay. Go ahead.
So he said he's going to
pour. You let me know when you finish. And then
It's like me saying I'm going to pour water upon all y'all downstairs. Now, you over there, you're going to get water on your shoes, and you're going to get water on your pants. I don't tell every single person what the water is going to do. I just pick my family to tell them because I know them. That don't mean that it's only for my family.
Okay.
And it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He can just say upon Israel. We say all flesh, you mean all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, and blood and fire and colors of smoke. The sun shall be turned, and it goes on now in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit fell.
Can I comment on that, on this?
Go ahead.
To the book of Acts. Okay. In verse 27, it says, "And you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass that I..." See, we can't take one part and say, okay, this is everybody. Because if it was all flesh, think about it. If it was all flesh, in verse 29 it says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. If it was all flesh, then why are we living in such a wicked world? Not all people have the spirit of the Most High and the spirit of Christ.
But Israel, the very people you're talking about, the ones that's got the spirit,
we have
the
to
very
look at
people,
that.
Just one little interjection. I won't dominate. Just one little. All right, I'm going to try to look at the clock because I know sometime I can be. If you're trying to tell me that everybody don't have a spirit, but Israel do, I'm looking at Israelites. Them the ones acting up. I mean, yes,
well,
the rest of the world is acting up and the Europeans are doing what they do, but, brother,
That's Revelations 2 and 9. What you're talking about is those Israelites you see, where the Lord says what those are the Israelites who say they're Jews, but are not.
Hold on. So now you're going to say, out of all the Israelite people, that's easy. You can always win an argument. If you're going to say everybody that obeys is really Israel and everybody that don't not, man, that's weak. That's a low blow. Israel as a nation.
I didn't say that. You're trying to say
there in Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9, folks, these people that's acting up. I'm telling you, anybody that live out of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 as a people, they are Israel. You can't pick out the ones that's acting right and say they're Israel.
I'm taking them out. Because Revelations 2 and 9 is not talking about the so-called white man. It's talking about the same people that you're talking about, that they're blaspheming the name of the Most High, that they're blaspheming the name of Christ. That's what that's talking about. That's not talking, because, look, it's talking to, in Revelations 2 and 9, we're going to get back to Joel. It's not talking about now or Europeans that call themselves Jews. It's talking about the Jews that was calling themselves Jews back then. So how are we going to take that out and say, okay, we're going to apply it to now?
It sounded like he was talking about a people, because it says I'm going to come and the Revelation 29, it says Revelation 39 says, I will come and cause them to worship at thy feet. He's basically saying another nation is going to come bow down at this other nation's feet. I mean, I see what you're saying, but that's kind of be careful with that, because you're doing a lot of twisting there. If the Bible says he poured his spirit upon all flesh, let me just say this, okay, please.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say. You're trying to say that the Holy Spirit has been poured just upon Israel. But why would the Most High pour his spirit upon a rebellious people that he had scattered throughout the four corners because of their rebellion? And he even said that he was going to deliver these people two ways. If my people, which are called on my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he'll heal them that way. But then he said, I'm just going to remember the covenant I had with Father Abraham and his faithfulness, and he's going to have pity upon Israel because the heathen began to boast that he did all these things to Israel. So that was the second way he was going to deliver Israel, just based upon mercy and grace and his covenant. Now, that is the way we are going to be delivered as a people, because we as a nation have not did Second Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, the first scripture I quoted. So we're going to be delivered because the Most High remembers his covenant with Abraham and he gets tired of the heathen boasting about how he broke us down. We still ain't going to be an obedient people. So you telling me that he done poured his spirit right upon these rebellious, knucklehead people that still ain't doing right, that he's going to have to deliver us because of mercy and a covenant he had with Abraham, that we still ain't going to be acting right? Man, that is the most craziest thing I have ever heard as relating to Israel. You sure you want to say that?
Well, let me read Joel 2:32. Is that okay with you?
Go right ahead.
Okay, and it said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord have said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So there's going to be a small portion of those hard-headed, rebellious people that never did right, that's going to do right, that's going to follow Christ and do what Christ told them to do.
But so hold on. You can't swim. You can't flip-flop. You just said a minute ago that he poured out his spirit on all of Israel. How are you going to change that like that? If he poured out on all of Israel, and now you got some knucklehead Israel, what makes them better than the Gentiles that we think is knucklehead too? That don't hold water, what you're saying, my brother.
Well, all I can do is tell you what the scripture says. You asked me a question.
You're not telling me. Listen, I hear what you're saying. I respect. Listen, I respect you. You come on the line strong. You've raised some serious points, and especially the brother Joseph. But what I'm saying, and I ain't got time for egos, man, because some things I don't know, you're going to tell me, and I just got to swallow my pride and say, my brother, you know, I didn't see it. I'm going to study this. I'm going to check it out. I don't know yet. I'm going to check it out. But what I'm saying
is,
you just
have to have a sidebar.
We
definitely
can have a sidebar, but what I'm saying is we got brothers and sisters on the line right now. They're listening. They're in tune. They ain't went nowhere. Folks, the phone line is full of people. They are listening strongly. And I'm saying I believe there's a spirit that has come upon Israel to abort the very plan of salvation that Christ was introduced to. He was introduced to, the Bible says that the Most High made Israel sleepy. That we could not see the Messiah. He did it because of our rebellion, of course, but we couldn't even recognize the Messiah when he was here. We killed him. And the Gentiles was engrafted in. Now listen, the Bible says they have been made part of the commonwealth of Israel, not a portion, a little bit. If you're part of the commonwealth of America, you ain't like got a little apartment on the side. That means you can do what any American can do. But there's this movement within the Israelite community that's aborting something. Just let me get this out. One little thing. We are aborting the very reason Christ came. And that is some dangerous, dangerous, dangerous teaching. If I was a white brother or sister listening right now, and the Most High really wanted me a part of his kingdom, and I heard what you said, and I heard what Brother Gabriel said, and I believe you, brothers, and I respected you, brothers, and I said, man, they know the Bible so much more. I would believe I can't be saved right now, and if I can be a part of the kingdom, I'm not going to be quite as good as. And that is totally far from what the scriptures say.
Can I ask you a question then?
Go right ahead.
What do you think of Isaiah 60 and 10?
Let me turn to Isaiah 60 and 10. Now, is this talking about before Christ come or after Christ come? Let's see. 60 and 10. The sons of strangers shall build up thy hills, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Oh, that is totally right. But are you talking about before Christ or after Christ has come? Whenever Israel obeyed, the heathen was to serve them big time. Big time.
Could you read verse 12?
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Amen, or so be it, so be it. Amen, I agree. Have no problem with that scripture. It is totally true. I agree. I see it. But that's pre-Christ. Listen, my brother. That's before the lamb was slain. That was before the lamb was slain. That was before the Gentiles was engrafted. That was before Peter got the vision. That was before Paul went and announced the good news. That was before the New Testament. In the Old Testament, absolutely, positively, there wasn't the Gentiles. Hey, they had it bad. But I'm going to tell you something. I can show you in the same book. Hold on. I can show you in the same Old Testament when Israel got their behinds whooped by nations. I'm trying to think right now. There was a good king, and he fell. He messed up. King Josiah.
Yeah. Every time
he got whooped by the
Egyptians,
king, Egypt's king was a God-fearing man, or feared the Most High.
Well,
feared
that's one of the things I agree with you. We don't have nothing to really boast about.
What I'm trying to show you, though, I want you to hear what I'm saying right this second. Israel was defeated by an Egyptian king that did nothing wrong. The prophets told Josiah, don't go against this man. He was a godly king in Egypt, and Israel was defeated. So does the Most High really favor Israel? I don't know. When Israel disobeyed and another nation obeyed, he favored that other nation.
Well,
now,
we
don't know what... Hold on, let me get one more thing out. When that nation defeated Israel, what do you think they said? If their king was a king that feared the Most High, do you think they rejoiced? And if they rejoiced, what did they say? If they say, blessed be the God of the wooden gods, or did they praise the Elohim that we know? See, now people don't want to talk about that. If he was a king that feared the Most High and they defeated Israel, how did they praise sound? See, we think only Israel. This thing ain't just about no Israel. There are white people out here, man, that love the Most High. They teaching some of this very stuff we saying. There's some white people that gave their life for black folk. Gave their life. Yes, the greatest love you can do is to give your life for a stranger, and they demonstrate it. And you got black folks that won't even give you the time of day. But yet we feel like some kind of way we have a superiority. Man, this stuff is dangerous. I distance myself from people that teach that. It's dangerous, 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 and we are tearing up the very purpose that Christ came. It's some dangerous, dangerous doctrine. I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to say, well, you can kind of, brother, it's kind of a, this is some dangerous, dangerous stuff. The Gentiles, we are the ones that are supposed to be leading them back to the Most High. We're supposed to be getting the Gentile brother by the hand and say, listen, this is not how you worship. You worship this way. You know, you're supposed to worship the Most High. You know, that's how we went into captivity, because we didn't deserve him. So you need to worship this way. We need to be training and teaching. They're looking at us anyway. They follow Israel anyway. They mimicking Israel anyway. We act the fool. They want to be like us. We're supposed to lead the nations back to the Most High. And I'll be dog. You go on YouTube and Facebook. We sitting up blasting white people. Man, oh my God, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And may the Most High forgive us for that and not punish us as a nation all over again, set us back for doing this. It's a horrible thing, man. Horrible.
Brother Gabriel
got his hand up. Let me see what he has to say, if you don't mind. Would you want to comment before I bring him on?
Yeah, what I would have to say is that we really have to go according to what the scriptures are saying and leave our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts out of it. Because when we get our emotions and feelings and thoughts of it, then we're not going to see the scriptures clearly. We just have to go according to what the scriptures are saying. Now, I heard what you're saying, but you know, the things that I read.
Brother, hold on a second. You just said that. But brother, what you just did, body of Christ, and showing that scripture, that had no weight whatsoever. That's prior to Christ. Of course the nations are to serve Israel.
Can I read the scripture during Christ and after Christ? Two scriptures. Is that okay with you?
Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. This is Matthew's 1 verse 21, and it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what people are you talking about? When you go to Matthew's 2 and 6, it says, and thou Bethlehem.
Hold on.
Let me finish reading, bro.
Read that scripture again.
Okay.
Read that again, please. Hold on, Brother Gabriel.
Okay. Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Hold on a second. Are you trying to tell me that because it doesn't mention the rest of the world, that it's only talking to Israel?
Well, that's why I was reading the scripture in Matthew 2:6 to say who it was talking
about. Let me say something to you, brother, in all due fairness.
Okay.
That right there just told me a lot about you. When you want to see something a certain way, you can see it. Because there is somebody that can read that and say exactly what you just said. Yeah, you're right. But it's just simply saying, yeah, hold on. It's just simply saying that, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That don't mean that he won't save the world from their sins. The John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." You can't do what you can't do that. Man, what you're doing is dangerous. You did that in the Old Testament, just the same thing. You can see whatever you want to see. No, listen,
okay. Please.
I'm not trying to. I'm going to let you talk. I swear. I swear, but I promise I'm going to give you the mic. Brother God, we ain't forgot about you.
One more scripture.
But I'm saying this. Brother, you can't do that. You can prove this. I can make this book say anything I want to say if I do what you just did.
Well, I'm going to read a scripture, and you tell me what you think it says. I won't say anything. Like, I didn't say anything. You just asked me a question. This is Acts 5:29. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.'" So, explain that to me.
Him hath the Most High exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And then another scripture says, let's keep on reading, and we are his witnesses. Hold on. Well, what do you think of the scriptures? You got to look at more than one scripture. Bible says all power has.
Well, we're looking at this one.
Right, but just like you just did the other scripture, you can't do that.
It's your show. I have no power over the mic. You have the power over the mic. So, you know, you calling me and saying, you know, a lot of things about me, and, you know, that says a lot about me. What I said to you is that we have to read the scriptures. And you're right. We have to read more than one scripture, because in Isaiah 28:9-10 it says, "How are we going to understand the Bible is by reading here a little, there a little. Precept must be upon precept." That's how we're going to understand. And another way we're going to understand, we have to edify one another. That's how the body of Christ is going to be edified. So if we can't dialogue, if we're so hardened into our doctrines, then you're right. We won't be able to see what the scriptures are saying.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. Maybe I'm a little impatient. And for one, the show is, we got like 10 minutes, and this kind of happens late. I really wish the whole show could have been about this, because, man,
we shouldn't be cursing people out. We should be teaching Christ and then let the chips fall where they may. I think we agree on that.
What I'm saying is this. You can't read a verse and say, okay, what does that mean? You got to read the whole chapter. In some cases, you got to read a whole book. Now, in this same book, I know for a fact in this same book, if I would just put my mic down right now, get my concordance out, I bet you I can show you 20 scriptures where it says that Christ came to take away the sins of the world. Now, here... Listen, hear me out. And I don't want to control the mic, but I just know for
the mic.
I just know for a fact that there is so many scriptures talking about Christ dying for the world. The world being, again, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And then you
can
probably
I ask
go think,
question?
Hold on. You'll probably listen to that scripture and go, oh, okay, well, look at this scripture. No, don't go looking at that scripture. What did he mean? Understand that one. Now, if he took away the sins of the world, then he also took away sins of Israel. So if somebody wants to say, yes, he took away Israel's sin, and they write that in the verse, and they put that in the Bible, he took away our sins as Israel. Somebody can come along and say, well, see, he just said he took away Israel. That don't mean he didn't take away everybody else. This book is about Israel. Israel is the star.
That's
hold
a good
on,
point.
Hold on, give me 30 more seconds. Israel is the star. They are who the book is about, Israel and the Most High, Israel and the Most High. So they don't always talk about the Gentiles and what they got. You're going to see scriptures here and there that's going to say, all I have been engrafted in, all the sins taken away. And then you're going to see Israel with sins taken away. You know, he delivered Israel. Then somebody going to say, well, see, he delivered Israel. He didn't lose nobody else. I mean, you can do what you're doing all day long. If I can literally prove anything based upon how you just did those scriptures. Literally prove that it's okay to
believe. I think you have to be very careful in what you're saying. Yeah, I think you have to be very careful in what you're saying. I'm being very careful in what I'm saying because I know what the scripture says, that we look through a glass darkly. That means we don't have it all. And that's why I asked that gentleman, what was the first thing that Christ was teaching? The first thing that Christ was teaching was repentance. So that's what we're supposed to be teaching is repentance. That was his doctrine. He wasn't teaching a national doctrine. He was going around to Israel and teaching them to repent of their sins and giving them repentance of their sins. So that's what we're supposed to focus on, that message, this message of Gentiles and Israel and this. We're supposed to teach what Christ taught. What he taught the disciples to teach, he began on a doctrine of repentance. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew 4:17. That's the first thing that he started with. The last thing he left the disciples with was what? That they go and teach repentance. So that's what we do. That's what we focus on mainly.
So let me ask you a question. Make sure I understand you, because I just can't believe you. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I misheard. Maybe I was talking too fast and I just missed something. But are you telling me that Gentile sins have not been taken away by Christ?
How could the Gentiles never entered into a covenant with the Most High? So they're not held accountable. Israel is held accountable because he made
hold
a covenant
on.
With them.
Hold on a second.
Because
this
what is sin?
Hold on.
What is sin?
If you can,
sin is a transgression of the law.
If you can. Our problem was the law could not take away our sins. The Most High never just wanted Israel. He wants the planet. He never wanted Israel. He didn't create the planet for Israel. He created the planet for all people.
He did
now,
create the planet.
Christ's blood, you believe, came to take away Israel's sin. And
well,
so
what
about the Gentiles? What, hold on, ain't what the Bible say. That's what you say the Bible say. I got you. But that ain't what the Bible say. There's so many scriptures, man, that say different than what you're saying.
Well, that's what
and
I'm
I
saying
know,
to you, that we have to go through each scripture. Because
I
read a scripture to you, and you said, oh, man, I could read another. You discounted the scripture that I haven't discounted any scripture that you read.
I didn't discount the scripture.
I read the scripture
in Acts. I should have took what you said.
I read the scripture in Matthew's. And you said, oh, that's not saying that.
It ain't saying that. It wasn't saying that. It wasn't saying that. You can't say if Christ.
Let me. Maybe I'm impatient. Let me. I'm gonna go and look at it. So how do you know if it's saying it? You just seeing it? Okay, it's not saying.
I know because I've been in this thing since 79. I done preached this. I done seen it. I know. So that's why I'm saying I'm kind of tired and. I just can't believe something as elementary as the sins of the world being taken away by Christ. And I shouldn't say elementary because it sounds like I'm being condescending, but I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you came on the line with a strong presence on one, with regards to one area,
And then when it comes to the Christ's blood and the lamb and what a lamb is designed to do, take away the sins of, you're saying the lamb was only slain for Israel? So if the Gentiles...
I'm just reading what the scriptures say, see.
No, the scriptures ain't saying that. The scriptures you ain't showed me nothing. You think you done showed me something, and now I'm trying to avoid
that.
It. Hold on.
That's wrong.
Hold on.
That's wrong for you to say, brother. To say I don't think you in my thoughts and think I've showed you something. I'm just sharing something with you, just like you're sharing with me. And see, this is
what
the
I'm
problem that we have.
No, you're sharing something with me, and you're saying I'm not commenting on it. I'm like, I have commented on it. If everybody get wet by rain, and I say everybody will get wet, but I focus on my family and how they don't really get wet.
We can't use an analogy. We have to go by what the scriptures are saying and look at and go precept upon.
I'm letting you know, man. Look, let's see what Brother Gabriel has to say. I don't mean to ignore his brother. You can stay online. I won't mute you. But let's see what he has to say. We'll let you have final words. We got literally 3 minutes and 27 seconds. This thing going to cut off. So, Brother Gabriel, what you have to say quickly, please?
Hey, Brother Seth, man, I used to love to listen to your show, brother. But, you know, the stronger I got in the scriptures, you doing what some preachers do on Sunday. You're twisting the scriptures. The brother gave you precept on precept, line upon line. That's why when you say he was on there, that perked me up because they rebuked me and corrected me, too. So, and they didn't just come with one scripture and just say this is what it means. They broke it down with most scriptures. So I still got love for you, but if you don't stick to the scripture as it is written, then you're going and try to get it how you feel. That's like that's why women can't be preachers, because they're emotional beings. When you deal with emotions, you always fall in your faith. You deal with it as written. Like a man, he deal with logic. So if you're acting like a man, if it's logic, you say, bam, he had died for Israel. He was, it's according to the flesh, Israel. What else do you want him to say? Like you said, if you figure out who the covenant is given to, like the brother said, I read that too, but the covenant was given to Israel. So if the covenant was given to them, they're the ones that broke the covenant, so they had to be saved from the breaking of the covenant. That's simple as it, that. How is that to understand? And if you break it down, your world don't include everybody in the whole world. Why? Because your real world is your family, then and maybe your friends. But basically,
okay,
your real world is your family. So when you come with the whole world, I'm going to put it like this. Would you want murderers, homosexuals, and everything around your kids? That's a part of the world, too. So, no.
Brother
Gabriel,
I'm not trying to cut you off, but we got 1 minute 38 seconds, 1 minute 37 seconds. It's going to cut off here in a second. Maybe we have to just pick this up on Thursday. I will read one scripture to y'all, and I'll be done with this. John 1 and 29 says, the next day, John seeth the Messiah coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world.
Now it comes with the precept. You got to come with precept on precept. Like he said, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 and 13. So basically you got to get
more than,
I can explain all the scriptures that was just read. Listen to what I'm saying, please. I can explain all of them, but you can't explain that 29th verse.
Yes, I can. Like I was just breaking down. Go get a regular dictionary. Going to tell you world means more than one. Just the whole earth. So go ahead.
It's okay, man. Look, we got 30 seconds. There's no way we're going to do this. It's going to cut off on us talking. So I don't want it to cut off without me saying thank y'all for sharing. Maybe I'll try to do a show tomorrow. Just keep on y'all five suits on. I may try to do another show tomorrow to cover this, because I don't want this to end on this note. Both of you brothers have a good spirit. I'm not just saying, I really like y'all, and I like how y'all came on tonight. You actually helped me out. I don't want it to end like this. I don't mean to be a know-it-all, but I'm a little shocked. But we got 5 seconds. So, brothers, let's just talk again. Keep your eye on my show, and we'll do it again.
Thanks, BLC, for coming on. I love you. Answer.
All right.
Shalom. It's still going. It's just saying no time left. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. It's probably
well,
not recorded.
In a second, it's going to